Christmas.
It's Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. So.
But it's festive, and it sort of would put you in the mood, wouldn't it?
It's snow.
It's got snow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's got snow, is it? But then so is Cool Runnings about the Jamaican bobsleigh team.
People say Harry Potter is very festive. Well, it's not really.
Not really.
No.
A bit magical. Thank you, James. Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. You're listening to me, Ian Payne, here with your Christmas Day breakfast and on this festive programme.
Call round to a neighbour. Check in on a friend or a relative who you haven't heard from for a while. Reach out. It can make a huge difference. That's what Christmas is about.
An estimated 1.8 million UK adults will spend today alone, even if they don't want to. That's roughly equivalent to the combined populations of Birmingham and Glasgow. Many people find Christmas difficult, whether it's for the first time this year or because past festive seasons have been a struggle. Some may enjoy parts of the holiday but are unable to celebrate it in the way they'd hoped due to money, work and family pressures. Are you lonely or alone? And I think there's a difference. I think there's a lot of people who'll be on their own today, and that's by choice. They quite like it. Tell me if you are. For others, it's not a simple feeling at all. Joy, stress, sadness can all be part of the same day. And for those spending the day alone, the lack of human contact can make the festive period feel even harder. So if you are on your own this Christmas, by choice or otherwise, give us a ring and let us know how the day's going.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock. Warnings for cold and windy weather will be in effect this Christmas Day. The UK Health Security Agency has warned of a minor impact on the health service, with the cold alert coming into effect for the southwest of England this evening, while the Met Office has issued a warning for strong winds for the southwest and Wales. Forecaster Gemma Plum has told LBC it's unlikely we'll get any snow today, though.
Christmas Day is going to be dry. It is going to be cold, though. We do have a strong easterly wind across England and Wales, so it's going to feel particularly cold through the course of Christmas Day.
Organisers of some traditional Christmas and Boxing Day swim events in Devon and Cornwall say they've had to call theirs off due to safety concerns. The US Justice Department admits it could take several further weeks to release every file linked to Jeffrey Epstein. It says it's discovered more than a million extra documents potentially related to the late sex offender. All the material was supposed to have been published by last Friday's deadline. Wes Streeting has told LBC he will still be the health secretary next Christmas and not the prime minister. He's previously denied claims he wants to remove Sir Keir Starmer from Downing Street. And speaking to Nick Ferrari at Christmas, he's promised there is progress being made in the health service.
I tell you the thing where I was like properly punching the air was when we delivered the 2 million more appointments we promised in our first year early. And then by the time we got to the first anniversary, we'd actually delivered 5 million more. To be able to say to people, we promised and we've delivered, is a nice feeling.
And you can listen to the full interview on Nick Ferrari at Christmas from 1 o'clock. The royal family is expected to celebrate Christmas Day together at Sandringham, but Andrew Mountbatten Windsor won't be there following the controversy over his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew's always denied any wrongdoing. And a national reward for bravery will be given to civilians and first responders on the scene of the Bondi Beach terror attack. 15 people were killed at a Hanukkah event in Sydney 11 days ago. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says recognition is important.
At the same time as we've seen the worst of evil and the worst of humanity, we have seen the best of humanity. The bravery and kindness and compassion to fellow Australians that we saw from those who rush to danger.
LBC weather. A mostly dry Christmas day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds, and a high of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm David Dom.
How would you describe McCain vibes?
I would reckon it's like a crisp and a chip. If they had a baby, do you know what I mean? Well, you know what?
A chip and a crisp.
Combination.
It's got crisp ancestry, but it's a chip.
Like a hot chip crisp combo thingy? Yeah? Pure poetry, that was.
McCain vibes. Our chip crisp combo hot snack thingies in a freezer aisle near you.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Are they up yet? Have the kids been up for how long? Who's the earliest kid to get up? Have you got any sleep at all? I'm waiting on my kids to provide some grandchildren. There's no pressure on them at all, but I want a Christmas where people are genuinely excited. I saw a lovely, lovely website the other day where a lady had taken a picture of her eldest daughter and her youngest daughter, the two of them, coming down the stairs to see all the Christmas presents around the tree. And she'd done it for about 10 years in a row, from when there was just one daughter to two daughters until they got to about, like, 10 and 8. And they were still excited coming down. And the look of joy on their faces. And to be honest with you, you know, if you're not that religious, that's kind of what it's about, is just seeing the delight on the faces of children. I mean, there are those other films that I've been sent of ungrateful children. Have you seen that? That's terrible. They open their stuff and it's not a Samsung, it's an iPhone, and whichever one they wanted, they didn't get, and they like hurl it across the room going, I don't want that. And you just think, what have we come to? That you're being ungrateful about getting a bicycle or something. So anyway, listen. Today is a little bit more formulaic than the kind of stuff I normally do during the week, so bear with us. A bit more scripted, a bit more rounded, a bit more newsy. Okay, but within that, that doesn't mean that you can randomly ring us with the normal number and tell us about your Christmas. What always used to delight me when I was growing up for Christmas was certain television programmes, because I've said this many times before, that but when in the olden days you had TV Times. I looked in the newsagent the other day to see if TV Times was still going. It is still going. I had no idea it was. And Radio Times and all the different TV magazines that there are now. But we used to spend hours working out on the Radio Times and the TV Times. We'd get the Christmas bonus for both. Working out what we're going to watch on this day, what will we watch on that? And then anyway, the whole lives were around television. And now, of course, it's completely different. But the one programme that I loved more than anything else in the world on Christmas Day, and I had to delay any kind of visiting the hospital that my father wanted us to do because he was a doctor, and it was called Noel's Christmas Presents. And it was all about Noel Edmonds. I know, Noel Edmonds, not anymore. But Noel Edmonds, back in the day, used to take poor, sick children and various other vulnerable people on trips of a lifetime. And I would love to kind of do a version of that. I'm not quite sure how you do it on the radio, though. I think it would be lovely if between now and 10 o'clock, someone had rung in saying they missed someone and they were listening and they got in touch. I don't think it will happen, but wouldn't it be nice on Christmas Day if we could put people in touch with each other? Maybe family people, family members. You haven't spoken to them for years. Just if there's somebody that you'd be desperate to get in touch with and you haven't heard from them. Look, we probably won't hear from them and you probably won't get an answer, but at least we tried on Christmas Day, because Christmas Day for me has always been, if it's not for the love of children and you're not particularly religious and you're not going to a church service, it's about family being reunited. And we spend the whole of the rest of the year talking about disunited families and religions and tribes. And so without being too over poetic, wouldn't it be nice if you want to get in touch with us? And that brings me to the subject that we are scheduled to speak about this hour, and that is loneliness, or at least being alone. I don't know about you, I think that the emphasis of loneliness, and quite rightly, the charities are saying there'll be people who are lonely this Christmas. I've got the Samaritans have done a whole page of stats about how many people there are who, an estimated 1.8 million UK adults will spend Christmas Day alone, even though they don't want to. I'm in no way doubting their figures, but I think there's an enormous number of people, because every Christmas we talk about this, but I think there's an enormous number of people who are alone or spending today without anyone else in the house, unless it's a pet, but they do it by choice and they quite like it. And this idea of poor, impoverished pensioners sitting around a candle trying to keep warm all day, I think, while it may happen in some places, and of course there are lonely people who we have to look after, knock on your neighbour's door and all that, but I think the emphasis has shifted. And I think that, I don't want to say that all pensioners are millionaires, because they're not, but if you spend your days like I do working with Generation Z, they spend the whole time telling me how lucky I am to be, if not a pensioner yet, then getting on in years. So what I'd love to do is, I'm going to kind of, we'll keep the phone lines open for the whole of the morning until Ian Dale takes over at 10 o'clock. And you can talk about anything as long as it's to do with Christmas. But what I'd particularly like to start with this hour is spending the holiday alone. I will be spending, well, I'm doing this show, go home, see my mum, my sister, the carer. I won't be there all day. I'll come back to London, do the breakfast show tomorrow as well on bank holiday. And then I'll go back and spend the weekend with my... So I live on my own and I kind of speak enough without having to feel alone. So am I right? Are there lots of people spending Christmas on their own but not lonely? Okay, I'll give out the numbers. If maybe you've never rung LBC before and today's a special day, the best number is the one that is the same number as the WhatsApp number. It is 03 45 60 60 973. Give us a ring now and tell us, are you alone or are you lonely? And I think there's a difference. Are you alone by choice? And I particularly want to hear people of a certain age. This idea, because there was a survey the other day, there's surveys about everything. There was a survey the other day that said people who are Gen Z, so I don't know what that is anymore, 18 to 30, something like that, 18 to 28, they're the most lonely people. They're the most alone people for all these various reasons, you know, after the pandemic and the cost of living crisis and we'll never own a house and all that misery, still living in mum and dad. So are you alone and are you lonely? And can I give you a tip, by the way? If you're a parent and you're desperate for something to show the kids to just keep them occupied because they're overexcited and they're being sick and they've been up all night, how about this? Just, you can Google it, but you can actually follow Santa across the world. He's currently over British Columbia at the moment. And he's going to be, yeah, he's crossing the border between the United States and Canada. How do I know? Because if you go on the NORAD website, N-O-R-A-D, just show the kids that, and you can actually see Santa, literally. He's now delivered 7,148,000,000 packages to people, and they're all flowing out the back of his sleigh. So that's NORAD. You can do Santa Claus tracking. Do that. And you can find out what's going on. So give us a ring or send us a message. The message number is the same, of course. Goodness me, look at that. We've almost got a full switchboard. I'm not used to that at this time in the morning. So let's start off. Go to Franco, who's in Northamptonshire. Happy Christmas. Morning.
Happy Christmas, Ian, and everyone else and whoever's listening to you. Yeah, this is my second Christmas on my own.
How old are you, Franco?
Do I have to tell you that?
No, just give me a decade.
75.
That always happens when you say that. People always keep that. No,
hang on. Not 1975. I am 75.
Good lad. All right. And you're on your own or lonely?
No, I'm not lonely. I'm on my own and I'm never lonely.
Good
and
I've boy.
Been on my own now for just over a year.
Right.
About 14, 15 months. And I do my own stuff. Whenever I want, I can do whatever I like, and
when you
I'm
like,
quite a fit guy.
How you
yeah.
like. I know. Yeah, I went out for dinner
people
with...
People out there that feel lonely, don't feel lonely. Just look positive.
Yeah.
Life is full of fun if you know how to do it.
What about those people who we always talk about at Christmas, and I hope they're a diminishing breed, but there are those who they're infirm, they don't have any family members nearby, they haven't spoken to someone, maybe they've fallen out. What do they do?
Well, they're just victims, and for whatever reason, I mean, I can't say what the reasons are because I don't know.
Mm.
And also, Santa must have a frigging big sleigh to carry all them parts.
Well, you'd say that, wouldn't you? But it's a bit like a sort of infinity, the concept of infinity. I can see that he's got his sack, but it's always full. It's kind of being refilled, even though he's dropping stars out of the back of his sack. And they're all twinkling their way down into people in British Columbia at this moment. He's done well, though. 8 billion presents delivered already, and it's only 7:15. It's not bad.
He must be knackered.
Absolutely knackered. And all 10 reindeer look pretty shagged out as well. So, yeah, well, we wish him well. Okay.
Fabulous show.
Great.
Fabulous show, Ian.
What are you up to? What's for dinner? What's for lunch, whatever you call it?
I'm doing myself a nice turkey dinner, my friend. I'm Italian, and I'm an excellent cook.
Oh,
so.
What do the Italians think of bread pudding and stuffing?
Fantastic.
Oh. Really? Yeah, I was listening to James before me. He was talking about the beauty of Christmas pudding. I just don't get it. Brandy butter, rum butter, whatever you call it. Ugh. All these things you never have. Any pie, dates. Oh, get them away from me.
Ian, I'm very diverse. I've been all around the world and I can eat anything, anytime, anywhere.
Great. Favourite country you've ever been to, finally? Last question, promise.
India, Goa.
Goa. I
spent 6 months out there.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I've heard great things about Goa. I've never quite wanted to go to India. It's a terrible thing to admit. It really is. It's such a diverse continent. Such a diverse, sorry, country with so many different people in it. But I'm like the old tennis player Stefan Edberg, who would always refuse to play tennis tournaments in India. You know why? Delhi belly. He just wouldn't go. He said, no, I'm not going to get ill. No, I'm not going to get ill. I have a secret that stops you getting Delhi belly, by the way. I won't tell you unless someone specifically asks me if it comes from a surgeon who should have known better. It is 7:15.
LBC.
A safe trip begins with T-R-I-P. Take a road trip with your family. Get there safely. Do your trip checks. T, top up on island fuel. R, rest every 2 hours too. I, inspect tire pressure and tread. P, prepare for the weather ahead. A safe trip begins with T-R-I-P. A safe trip begins with...
Think, do the 4 trip checks before every long journey. National Highways.
This is my car.
Well, I saw it first.
I sat in it first.
You horrible man.
Ow!
At Harwoods, we think January sales should be civilised. That's why there's money off every new and approved used car until the 11th of January. Simply stroll to Harwoods Jaguar and Land Rover Crawley and Brighton, Harwoods Volvo Crawley, or Harwood's Audi Five Oaks and Crawley. Details at harwoods.co.uk. The civilised January sale at Harwoods.
The table's set, presents are wrapped, but your guests are arriving any minute and you can't remember which gift goes to who. There's no such thing as the perfect Christmas, but there are perfect moments. This year, make the most of moments that matter with Coca-Cola. Whether you're getting ready to feed the masses or chatting with your colleagues about this year's Christmas party. Refresh your holiday spirit with Coca-Cola, the perfect drink for sharing in the moment. Coca-Cola, holidays are coming.
Hi, I'm Andrew from New Zealand and Australia travel specialist, Travel Essence. For a tailor-made holiday unlike any other, find your way to us. Our local knowledge saves you time and money, and our experience is your guarantee of quality. We are also members of ABTA and ETOL. Amazing journeys down under start at travelessence.co.uk.
This is LBC with Ian Payne. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Oh, yeah, always happy Christmas, everyone. You always know you're doing this job too long when people know what story you're about to tell because you've told it before. So, Mark, you're absolutely right about not getting ill in India. It has a lot to do with tapeworms. And I'm not going to mention that because that's disgusting and people will be eating. They'll be non-stop eating today. So, this idea, and I think that society is changing. I don't think this concept of the old infirm person, there are, but this old infirm person over the age of 75 who happens to be on their own is not that lonely and is not that impoverished. Of course there are people like that and we should all look out for them. But the vast majority of people that I know my age and older are quite fine living on their own, as I am. Unlike people in their 20s. So this was an article that came out yesterday. Well, it's been going on for about a week. And it basically says which group, which decade of people are the most lonely in Britain now? Teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s or 80s. What would you say? What would you say? 20s. Yeah, it's them again. Conversations around social isolation tend to focus on the elderly, especially around Christmas. But by some measures, people in their 20s are the loneliest group in Britain. Yes, boys? Come on. According to the Office for National Statistics, research published last month, 33% of Britons aged 16 to 29 reported feeling lonely, quote, often, always, or some of the time. Posh Will, do you feel... Oh, I have to call you Will today because we're a bit serious. But are you lonely this Christmas? Are you be lonely? Shep, you're not going to be lonely this Christmas, are you? With all your learning Mandarin friends? You'll be fine. And me? I won't be lonely, no. I live on my own. I'm certainly not lonely. And I have family, and I also have, rather ridiculously, a large family in the morning, and you speak to them all the time. 3 hours of talking, I'm done. Thanks very much. I don't need any more socialising. That will do me. Anyway, it's you lot again. Gen Z. Oh, it's awful, isn't it? There's a whole sort of comic trend I saw on my Insta Reels the other day, and it was a lady who made a whole kind of thing about the audience. Most of the audience were Gen Z, and she was saying, you're not feeling well. You all right? You sure? Don't want to go to work? Nah, better take some days off. Oh, but you're going to a festival. Oh, okay, fine. So you can't be that ill then. And it went on like this, you know, and I was just thinking, brilliant. We've got to the stage now where we're allowed to take the mickey out of Gen Z, and they just have to sit there and take it. So there we are. Anyway, apparently they're the loneliest. The World Health Organization, them again, reviewed various studies published across the world and found out that young adults and adolescents report the highest levels of loneliness as well. The data is complex, and there are indications that in some countries, among the very oldest group, the over 85, loneliness shoots up. Well, that's because, sorry, but they, you know, all their friends are dying. That's why they feel lonely. My mum's always saying that. She's 93. Goodness sake. Adults between 18 and 24 are the most lonely, followed by older people. This is from the director of the Centre for Loneliness Studies. You can do a loneliness studies course now at Sheffield Hallam University. Are you lonely this Christmas, as Mud sung once? Stephen's in Bromley. Hello.
Hi.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. What's going on?
Well, I guess just sort of felt compelled to call. Mm-hmm. I mean, am I lonely or am I on my own?
Yeah.
I guess I'm both, really. I care for my father of Alzheimer's.
Right.
So every day is...
That's hard, man. That's really,
yeah,
really hard.
Yeah, so today's worse than it was yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, so anyone...
Does he recognise you, Steve?
So it's Stefan.
Stefan, sorry. Does he recognise you?
Yeah, he does. I don't know what he thinks I am.
Mm. But you don't have a conversation?
Well, I can have a conversation, but it's generally now.
Yeah.
It's the same we had yesterday.
Yeah.
So there's all those people out there. Am I lonely? Yeah, because I guess when you care for people with a mental, you know, disability, you get ignored. Because family don't want to get involved.
When my dad was suffering as well, I'd see him in the care home or I'd see him at home, and the whole atmosphere around him would be like low and down, and it brings you down as well because you can't escape that.
No.
So no. Well done for doing it. You should be very proud of yourself.
Well, I've got nothing. Yeah, I'm not going to put him in a home because I'll kill him.
All right. Okay,
so,
it's a choice. What about brother? Have you got brothers and sisters?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Just you left?
Just me.
Okay, yeah. You've got kids?
No.
Right,
no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do today?
Cook.
Yeah.
And then probably eat and then sleep. Probably in that order. I might try it another way, I don't know. And then just try and spend some time with him.
Yeah.
Listening. I mean, I just really want to, you know, anyone out there that's suffering, you know, caring with anything with dementia.
Yeah.
It's awful. And there is help out there. You just got to go and get it.
I was just going to say, because, again, not having had the same situation as you, but a similar one, why don't you get some relief sometimes? Why don't you get someone to do it while you go out and have a drink or do something
normal?
Yeah,
I will do. I mean, at the moment, I'm battling the government. They're trying to cut my £83 a week carer's allowance,
yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, the biggest battle for the government, the front of you, HMRC and DWP,
yeah,
are dead against people who care for people.
Yeah, no, I've heard this refrain a lot as well. So you literally couldn't afford someone to come in and do an hour here and an hour there?
No. I mean, I've had to give up work. I mean, I used to serve in the armed forces, and then I worked in the city. And then after that, since 2017, I've had to care for him. And it's just...
How old is he now?
He's batting on. He's 84 now. So
84.
He's doing all right.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, because it's Christmas Day. I didn't know if you knew that, but it is. As it's Christmas Day, Stefan, I'm going to ask people to recommend stuff for you. Because the great thing about doing this programme is, working on LBC, because you're the engine room, as it were, the listeners rather than us. And I guarantee you there'll be loads of people listening now who go, God, that's just like my situation. Here's a tip. Or can I have some advice? So would you mind if I sort of put
I'd love that.
There?
Yeah.
All right,
absolutely.
Look, poor old Stefan is on his own.
No, don't play the violin.
Okay.
I just want to to show my appreciation for everyone else that's doing a job at Ireland. That's all I want to do. And wish them a happy Christmas and everyone else as well. So,
all right. There might even be someone in Bromley who's nearby who might help you out. You never know. So Stefan doesn't want sympathy. He doesn't want the tiny violin. He just wants some understanding. And if anyone can offer any advice to Stefan and his dad, gratefully taken. All right?
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
See it as our Christmas present to you. Thank you, Stephen. Let's go to Sheila. She's in Whittam. Hello, Sheila.
Hi. I hope my family aren't listening. I don't think they will be at this time of morning. I'm on my own, but by choice.
Good.
I had a family tragedy in the year, and it's made me not want to do Christmas, okay?
Right, fair enough.
So I've got my daughter left, and she's going away, and once we said, come on, you can't be anywhere at Christmas, come with us. No, don't want to do it, it's
going
to be...
Where are they going?
Dilly-dilly, which you don't want to do.
Where are they going?
Wales.
Oh, right, fair enough, stay where you are. No, that's a joke.
Thing. Yeah. They've got family there.
Right.
You know, lots of children and stuff, which you don't want to do.
No,
you
no.
Know,
no. Happier on your own. And they don't get that, do they? Go, how can you be happy on your own, Mum?
Yeah,
and you go,
yeah,
well, I am,
yeah.
Stop it.
My sister's the same, they're going to in-laws, who I don't know that well, and said, oh, you're welcome to come with us if you want to go. So what I've done is I've got a place in Spain, which I don't go to very often, but I told them I'm going to Spain for Christmas, and I did actually go.
On your own?
Good girl. Yeah, that wasn't a problem.
No.
I know people down there.
Lovely.
But, of course, all of them are doing other things, going away, coming back for Christmas.
Yeah.
So what I've done... I went for 3 days, sorted a few things out, paid some bills, did some cleaning, etc. Took some photos on my terrace of me, selfies.
Yeah.
And then I got on the plane back.
You're joking.
And then they think I'm still there. Only because I don't want them to feel guilty about me being on my own.
Hold on. You're faking a holiday.
Well, it's not a holiday. I had cleaning to do.
Oh, yeah, but you're basically pretending you're in a different country.
Yeah, superb. But only for them, not for me.
Right.
I'm happy to be here on my own.
You've taken a picture of yourself, just repeat that, where?
Well, because when they speak to me today, I need to make them think I'm still there, don't I?
So the pictures you've taken on your porch, sorry, were taken in Spain or are here?
Yes. Oh, yeah, no, I went.
I was going to say.
I only went for 3 days.
Right, so you think you want your family to think you're still there, so they're not going to pester you about coming round to them?
Yeah, no, well, I will I will come clean eventually,
That's superb.
I don't want them to worry about me on Christmas Day.
Oh, I love that. Because we're fine on our own, aren't we?
Exactly.
We're absolutely fine on our own. What are you doing for food? Because it'd be like, oh, poor Sheila, she's on her own. She can't cook on her own. What's she going to have?
Exactly. No, well, I've got friends here around me.
You see?
We're going to the pub. We're going on a walk.
Yes.
And then I'm coming back, and I've already cooked my beef.
Yeah,
and beef, I'm having beef, because I will be having turkey. I'm going to go to my sister's eventually on the 27th.
I don't mind going later. How long are you going to carry on with the charade that you're still in Spain?
I'll probably tell them when I go on the 27th.
It's incredibly resourceful. I bet you used to watch Blue Peter, Sheila. Superb.
Something like that.
Absolutely superb.
Can I have a number?
No. Shh. We don't do that. I'm doing the breakfast programme now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
so this is proper LBC now, okay? So I don't know what you're talking about, Sheila, but but thank you for getting in touch.
You're welcome.
You have a wonderful day, my darling. All right.
Thank you.
Nice one. So there's great, isn't it? See what I mean? We're fine. I'm not saying I'm an old age pensioner, because I'm not. Yeah, I've still got another 4 and a bit years to go, but I'm fine. Oh, poor old dad. He's on his own. Thank you. I love it. So, again, I'm not by in any means undermining the seriousness of being lonely at Christmas and not being able to afford stuff and all the rest of it. I get that. And that's what brilliant charities like Shelter, like the Sally Army, that's why they're there. And they are brilliant. But just remember, it's not just a cliche that every person who's on their own is necessarily lonely, because there is a difference. So We're asking for anyone who's on their own, are you lonely or are you doing it by choice? Are you lying to your family like Sheila is about where she actually is and where she's having a good time? Are you off to the pub? I always thought the only thing I regretted about agreeing to do Christmas Day and stuff, because it's just me and Mum and my sister and the carer, I can pop down later and it's not too far away, is missing out on that Christmas Eve night drink. Is anyone recovering from last night? Aren't they the best nights of the year? Christmas Eve in your local pub. Tell me about your local pub and what it was like last night. Or do people still go to midnight service? Oh, God, we had to do that. It was so cold. And everyone was drunk and couldn't sing. And the hymns are too high. The notes are too high. It's 7:30. Let's get the news headlines with David Dom.
Wind warnings for cold weather will also come into effect later this Christmas Day. They cover the southwest of England and Wales. Officials are warning of a potential impact on the health service. Wes Streeting has told LBC next Christmas he will still be the health secretary and not the prime minister. Mr. Streeting adds he feels the progress this year shows the NHS is on the road to recovery. And thousands of people attended Pope Leo's first Christmas Eve Mass. He's been leading prayers for peace. He'll return to the Basilica later for the traditional Christmas Day blessing. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas Day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and northeast England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with a high of 7 degrees.
I'm James O'Brien. Thank you for listening to me on LBC throughout the year.
The independent sentencing review is good enough for everybody else, but what do you use instead?
Personal experience, lived experience. Listen, if they're the facts, they're the facts. But from my lived experience...
They're the facts, but I know better.
They don't understand culture of the UK.
So what is it?
When have I criticised...
Why can't you tell me what it is? You're criticising people who don't know what the culture of the UK is, so you must be able to tell me.
I can't be asked, buddy. Have a good day.
That went well, didn't it, buddy? I'll be back in the new year taking your calls on LBC.
At Tesco Mobile this Christmas, we've got deals that sparkle. Like the iPhone 17 Pro Max with 3 months free Apple Music and 25 gigs of data for just £49.99 a month with club card prices, saving you £216. Now that makes gifting simple this Christmas. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 28th of December. Club card and 36-month credit agreement required. Savings calculated on contract duration. Terms at tescomobile.com/terms. Apple terms at apple.com/uk/promo.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes. Or invite everyone round at 2. We said 3. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa. Or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including Well Man, Well Woman, Well Baby and Well Kid. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
The new single drops. The world tour begins. As artists create the music we love, you could be right there in the mix. Calling all young creatives. If you want a career in music, then listen up. Global Academy have a new 6-4 music production course. State-of-the-art studios, practical experience, hands-on learning with music professionals. Awesome. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
This is LBC. Message Ian Payne on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
Yes, there's a few of you nursing a sore head because of the best evening in the pub of the year. Like Mark, I have an absolutely dreadful hangover. Yes, we went to Mass last night. My Italian children dragged me there. I sat at the back disappointed as no one dressed as Santa arrived. Penny is in Gozo, which is next to Malta, I think, if I remember my islands right. I'm spending Christmas Day on my own. I've booked a taxi. And Jill is in Purley, alone, but never lonely. So we're asking people to let us know their Christmas Day situation. in terms of, are you on your own? And if you are, because normally on a Christmas day, you'll talk about loneliness, you'll talk about, you know, this epidemic across Britain of people who are on their own and impoverished. And of course there are people like that. But there seems to be a slight turning, a new survey suggesting people in their 20s are the most lonely in the country. Let's speak to someone who'll know about this subject. Marjorie Wallace joins us. She is the founder and chief executive of SANE, which is a mental health charity. Are we feeling less lonely? Good morning, Marjorie.
Good morning. I don't really think we're feeling less lonely because, you know, the last years have not been always happy for people. But I think what we need to do, we've got to look at what is loneliness. Some, for loneliness, can be a winter of the mind for some people. They can feel very chilly. They can feel very left out of life. Or they can choose what you might call a solitude. There's a difference with isolation. Mm. Isolation is perhaps worse when people feel they have been isolated from families or from the life they used to have when they went and had jolly Christmases. So we're looking at several different things. But I think there is a stream of hope. Now, we at SANE, we are open from 4 o'clock this afternoon, and anyone can ring us. And we have about 10, 12 people taking calls, just listening to people's, what they're doing today, if they're feeling a bit lonely. And I do hope you'll take advantage of that.
What's the number?
The number is 0300 304 7000.
Okay.
And we take trained people, we take calls, and you don't have to be mentally ill, you don't have to have any major problem. They are just there to listen and help you over that, maybe that little hump of feeling that you're sort of left outside. And that's very important, I think. And I think there's another important message. I think that part of the Christmas loneliness, there is hope. And there is that feeling of hope. And I've had a rough year this year by itself. I lost my husband earlier this year. And I lost 2 months later my closest friend. Oh. And in the last 11 years, I've lost my first husband.
Oh, my goodness.
Lifelong partner. So I've had a lot of grief. And I think sometimes if you tie grief with loneliness, it's, again, it doesn't have to be a negative feeling. I mean, the way that I sort of said, it's just, it can be feel a heavy burden that you're having, but you can actually sort of fight grief. For me, grief is like a wild horse, an unbridled horse. You don't know quite when it kicks you or what happens, but you learn to tame it and to challenge it rather than just to sort of sit down and feel a victim.
What would you say to someone of a certain age? So my mum complains about it. She's 93, as I said, and she loves seeing us all the time, but it's just the general sadness that her peer group are disappearing. For obvious reasons. How do you mentally deal with that, Marjorie?
I think what you have to do is you have to regard it. Nothing in life is that easy. You have to regard it as a challenge. You've got to say to yourself, look, I can do it. I can get through this. I can get through a day alone. There's a wonderful poem by Thomas Hardy, and on Christmas Eve, and he pictures all the people, all the nativity scene, and it ends with, "So fair a fancy few would weave in these years, yet I feel, if someone said on Christmas Eve, come, see the oxen kneel, in the lonely barton by yonder coombe, our childhood used to know, I would go with him in the gloom, hoping it might be so." And I think that however lonely you are, however much your friends may be dying away if your mother's age, I think that there's that feeling of hoping it might be so that Christmas brings.
Christmas Eve and 12 of the clock. Now they are all on their knees. An elder said as we sat in a flock by the embers in hearthside ease. Yeah, great poem, great choice, by the way. Well, can I wish you and everyone that you know a happy Christmas? And thank you very much for coming on and sharing your views on it. I'll give out the number again, Marjorie.
Here I am. I've had all these losses, and I'm up here, and I'm looking at the dawn, and I'm thinking that all those people out there, they have somebody there, and we at SANE are there for them.
Okay. Wonderful.
Do you
Thank
want
you.
The number out again?
I've got the number and I'm going to repeat it. So don't you worry about that. Thank you, Marjorie. Happy Christmas. So SANE is a mental health charity. Marjorie is the founder and chief executive. And from 4 p.m. this afternoon, I think it's 4 p.m, not a.m., the number will be available to ring for some help if you're just on your own, really. 0300 304 7000. I'm mindful that I don't want to turn this into a depressing hour of feeling that the whole country is awash with sadness, because it's not, which is why I'm emphasising that there are lots of people out there who live on their own by choice. That's not to say that there aren't many, many people who are very sad this Christmas. Oh, dear. Jack, why are you asking this? And I wasn't sure I was going to have to answer this. How do you avoid Deli Belly? Do you really want me to tell you?
Yes. Right. Yes. First of all, I'd like to wish you and everybody at LBC a very happy Christmas. You do a fantastic service to the community. Whilst I've been on waiting for you, it's very clear, beautiful, clear blue sky here. We've got the sun rising in the east and one of the bright planets setting in the west. I've been looking through my binoculars.
Venus, isn't it?
I think it is Venus, yeah. Because it's
you can tell it's a planet because it doesn't twinkle.
That's right.
A star twinkles and a planet is a constant light.
I've been an astronomer for 60 years.
I only Googled it the other day because I wanted to sound like I knew what I was talking about, but yeah, I really don't.
It's just so nice to look out at the dawn sky, especially on Christmas Day.
There was three in a row the other day. You could see three planets in a row. Don't ask me which ones are. Anyway, okay, I'll give a very good... Don't... If you're just about to tuck into something, don't listen,
No,
fine.
I used to work in a mortuary, so I'm used to all that.
I knew this would get dark. Okay, so I was told this by... I was told this by an obstetrician, so maybe it wasn't true or not. The theory goes, if you want to avoid Deli Belly, you eat the egg of a tapeworm before you go, or cyst it's called, and it grows inside you, eats all the sort of yucky stuff, come home, take some antibiotics, flush it out, all over. There we are. Have you got a top tip for us about Christmas, cooking, being alone, being lonely, anything topical?
I'm going to family this afternoon.
Are you?
And I'm spending the morning opening presents and stuff like that, making sure everything fits.
Yeah, you don't sound that excited, are you?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's only going to come once a year, doesn't
it? Well, you're right there. You're absolutely right there.
Family get together.
Well, enjoy the sunshine in Essex.
Yes.
Have a lovely day.
Okay, thank you.
To hear from any... Thank you, goodbye. A couple of texts about, you know, we've had a problem in our family, and have you fallen out with someone in your family, or is there someone who's left and has disappeared and you want to get in touch with them? Come on, it's Christmas Day. Use us as a form of communication if you want. Someone out there that you want to speak to and you haven't spoken to them. Maybe you've fallen out. Maybe it's an old friend who's disappeared. Where are they? We always used to greet each other on Christmas Day and we've stopped doing it. Why have we stopped doing it? That kind of thing. Bit like sort of Davina McCall or Nikki Campbell show, where you're trying to get everyone back together again and make the planet a better place to live. Merry Christmas, Ian and all, says Archie from Inverness. What I love about Christmas is the heroic hypocrisy of it, okay? People talk of it being the season of goodwill to all men, but the usual hostilities tend to resume by Boxing Day. Now, we did a poll the other day about what's the minimum amount of time you can spend with your family before able to leave happily, okay? And we said 2.5 days was probably the earliest you could do it, unless you're literally a cousin and you're visiting for the day. But otherwise, I went on a long bike ride yesterday. God, it was cold. And there were groups of families already walking together on Christmas Eve. And I was thinking, my God, so you're going to be doing the Christmas Eve, probably not Christmas Day, but the Boxing Day. Then it's the weekend, of course. So that means you'll have to stay. So you'll be doing like 5 walks in a row. That's overkill for me. What about you? Shall we fit in one more call? Yeah, let's go to Humphrey, who is in Norfolk. You're on your own, Humph, aren't you?
I am. Excuse me, I am indeed.
You lonely or just on your own?
just on my own. Yeah. I'm a very social animal. And so I decided this Christmas that I was going to invite anybody and everybody from my village here in North Norfolk. I have no idea how many who's coming because I told them all not to whether they're coming or not.
Right, so we'd better tell you that you live in Norfolk, but you live in the lovely village of Clay, C-L-E-Y, yes?
Some people call it Clay, some people call it Cly.
Oh, what do you call it?
I call it Cly because I've always been here since, I've been coming to this village since the age of 5 years old, that's 62
that
years ago.
Because you're from Norfolk? Is it?
No, not from Norfolk, but this is my I feel it's it's my home village is what I call it, and
I've
loved it forever. Yeah.
How will they know where you live? Have you got a balloons outside saying it's a party?
Well, actually, I've moved up here into here about 6 months ago.
Right.
I have the whole place is chaotic.
Okay.
No room is clear of anything. There's piles of boxes still in the dining room. My wine glasses are behind all these boxes. I've got 2 hours to find them.
Well,
sales, they can drink out of bottles.
You inviting only people you know or strangers?
No, anybody.
So how are they going to know where you live, Humphrey? You can't just say Humphrey's in Clay. Can I Cloy? Clay.
I have a high awareness in this village. Most people know who I am.
Sir Humphrey.
I put my address.
Yeah.
I will be putting...
you don't want me to read out your address on the air?
No. I won't be doing that. But I will be putting a sign outside just for good measure.
All right. Well, it's open house at the Humphrey household. Party! Everybody, if you want to go down, it's going to be an interesting day. Well, let us know how it goes, because I'm on tomorrow as well.
Are you?
So maybe you could give me a ring, because I'm doing 7 till 10 tomorrow as well. Maybe you could give me a ring tomorrow and told me if anyone turned up.
Yeah, I will.
Superb.
I will.
All right. If anyone's feeling alone and they're anywhere near Clay or Cloy or Cly or whatever we call it in Norfolk, just ask for Humphrey. They'll know. It's 7:45.
This is LBC.
Music, news, celebrities, socials, entertainment, podcasts, video. The world of media and entertainment is a world we all turn to every second that we can. And university isn't for everyone. So if you're leaving school, take a look at joining Global Academy in year 14 to take a unique course in creative enterprise and kickstart your media career. Get industry experience, develop your entrepreneurial skills, and it's free. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
When you're smiling.
Don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling.
banningdental.co.uk.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at 2. We said 3. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
So, this is Ian Payne. Good morning. Happy Christmas. We are challenging the annual narrative of loneliness to a certain extent. Of course, there are people who are of a certain elderly age who are on their own and need some company. But I think I get the impression that Britain has changed a little, and there are a lot of people who are, and we're all getting older, but, you know, medicine and science advances, and so, you know, we are living a lot older now, and a lot of people are still very active and healthy in their 60s, 70s, even their 80s. So I'm wondering whether or not you are on your own this Christmas, but by choice, let's try and look at it in a positive way. And also, if anybody would like to try and make contact with someone they haven't seen for a long time, use us as your form of linkage and communication, would you? Just let us know who you are and who you're trying to contact. I'm alone today, says Satbeer, but not lonely. My friends say I'm lucky. I don't have to face any in-laws. Merry Christmas. Jemmy says, morning, Ian, and happy Christmas to you and your team. Thanks for all the company in the early hours. Two of my sisters chose to spend Christmas alone owing to loss. They both feel it's easier and less painful to have a normal day pleasing themselves and keeping busy. And I have a little bit of philosophy here from, doesn't say who you are. Ian, visitors are like fish. They go off after 3 days, do they? Sren is in Ilford. Are you lonely? Alone? Both? Neither?
Good morning, Ian.
Morning.
It's Oldsfield, not Ilford.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Yes, I'm lonely by choice, but alone by choice, and but not particularly lonely, because I decided to do a little bit of local charity work this morning.
Good boy.
So
why are you on your own anyway? Is this, did you live alone, or see the family?
I've got a missus, I've got a kid, and they decided to go to South Africa for Christmas.
Okay.
To visit their family, and I just decided I want to spend that kind of money, and I wanted to just have a lonely Christmas, but by choice, really.
Okay. So you say lonely, but you're fine, you're alone, and you've got enough things to be getting on with?
Yeah, always is something to be getting on with. So yesterday, for instance, I had a friend that passed away three years ago, mm-hmm. and it's a long term family friend where his mom used to change our nappies when we were kids, basically, and but they're Jehovah's Witnesses, so they've never really celebrated Christmas.
Oh, don't they at all?
Or birthdays? No, they don't do the celebrations. So yesterday, I decided. I took the mom out, for a meal because mom is on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, I took her to the pub that I'm going to be doing charity work today, because this is what this pub does. Is they
I'm
open
doing
their
charity
doors
work, up. And it just so happens it's in the pub. Oh, poor me.
But this pub opens their doors on Christmas Day, right, and basically allows lonely people to come and have a meal and a soda for free for the day. So they don't take bookings or reservations. And I've always known about this pub. And but I've never been able to actually.
Are you an entertainer or something? What would be your
role? I've got no idea what my role is going to be today. Rock up at 11 o'clock, and just maybe I'll be peeling potatoes, or maybe I'm washing dishes. Maybe I've got a friendly face, and I'll be doing hospitality front of us. Who knows?
Brilliant! You keep up the good work. Merry Christmas, my friend. Thank you very much indeed.
Too, yeah.
Love to your family in South Africa. That's another interesting take on Christmas, isn't it? What happens if you're not a Christian and you don't believe in Christmas, or you don't celebrate Christmas? How are you spending today? Because I often see on Christmas Day, I'll wander out of here, and I guarantee you there'll be a lot of specifically Japanese tourists who'll be wandering around, and some of them will be thinking, what's going on? What's Christmas? No, seriously, they just don't understand the concept of it. What about you? If you're not somebody who celebrates Christmas, maybe you're Jewish, Jehovah's Witness, completely different religion, totally irreligious, no idea what's going on, only just come to Britain to live, you're probably wondering, this is all a bit much, isn't it? If someone was just to say to you, so what is Christmas then? And they didn't understand the concept. I was thinking about this as I was driving in this morning. And yes, thank you to all of you who said, yeah, I can park on a yellow line. I think I'll be okay, but I won't be able to guarantee it until I find my car. So I'll let you know tomorrow when I can verify or not. But yeah, no, that's just, if you were to describe Christmas, I'll ask you that. If you were to describe Christmas to somebody who didn't really know what it was and was over here on holiday and was wondering where all the people had gone, how would you describe Christmas in as fewer words as you possibly can? I think that'd be quite interesting. Let me know. You'd probably best not to ring, but just to send us a message. And the best time and way to send a message by using the same number as the phone number, which is 03 45 60 60 973. It's a WhatsApp message system, which if you've never used it, it's internet-based and it's free. And if you can just put that number in your WhatsApp contacts list, you can send it to LBC whenever you want, 24/7. 03 45 60 60 973. If you were to try and describe Christmas now, because it's changed over the years, how would you describe it to a foreigner in as fewer words as possible? 03 45 60 60 973. I know how I do it. It'll be very interesting, actually, and we'll begin talking about this more after 8 o'clock. And we're speaking to various royal correspondents, because, of course, the King's delivering his speech today. I wonder what will be in it. I wouldn't imagine it'd be controversial, because it never is. But the number of people who watch the King stroke Queen's speech on Christmas Day is dwindling. It used to be, goodness no, what was it? Beginning of this century, 20 million or something? I mean, it's crazy, crazy numbers. It's now 7 and dropping. What does that say about our interest in the royal? I just think it says, A, that we don't think the royal family are kind of irrelevant, but the younger the generation, the less time they have. But I think it was always like that. Maybe when people get older, they'll think, oh, no, I am interested. But what is, you know, that whole relevance of the royal family? And we'll talk about that more after 8 o'clock. In the meantime, let's go to another first-time caller. From Derek in Raynham, you're the youngest of 10. Morning.
Morning, yes, I am. Happy Christmas, Happy Ian, Christmas. And all your listeners.
Thank you. And how old are they all?
Well, I am now 68.
Yes.
Jenny is 78, Barbara is 88, and we're the only ones left of the 10.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
Yeah, so growing up as a child, I always dreaded the day that, you know, I may be one of the few that are left, and here I am on my own
and
now.
How is it what you imagined it would be like?
Retirement isn't what I thought it would be. But,
go on. What do you mean? Go on.
Well, I obviously, coming from a big family, the house was always buzzing and lively at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm on my own, so...
Tell me about what it was. So what era, what decade are we talking about when all 10 of you were celebrating Christmas at home with Mum and Dad?
Probably in the 60s, 70s, I'd say. Yeah.
What was the day like? Tell me about the first person to wake up and then what happened.
So always, like, the youngest would be awake and probably one big present. That's all you'd get.
Yeah?
Always a real Christmas tree. And just everybody used to... you know, converge on my parents' house, and it was just always lively, buzzing.
What, people from outside came to your parents' house?
No, all the family used to come down, and it was always just so lively and buzzing. And
well, hold on a minute, how many people did you have in the house at one time?
Probably 20 to 30, I guess, with all the grandkids and great-grandkids. And
chaos!
And yeah, it was fantastic.
Was it? You love it?
Yeah, but I still love life. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love life. I know I've got 5 grandchildren of my own now.
If you don't mind me asking, why did your parents have so many kids?
Well, it was a split family.
Okay.
My dad went off to fight in the war.
Right.
He had 5 children. My mum had 1 daughter. My mum was widowed in the war. My dad came back from fighting in the war, was stationed at Woolwich Barracks. They met up. He had all his children. They were all put in homes up in Yorkshire. They got together, brought the kids down to London, and had the rest of us. So we ended up as a family of 10, but never half brothers or half sisters, always.
And did that encourage the 9 brothers and sisters of yours and yourself to have lots of children as well?
No, I don't think so, really. No, I mean, I've got 2 daughters, and I'm happy with the 2 that I've got. They're lovely, and my grandchildren are my life, really.
Mm. If you were to try and describe
anything, really,
Christmas now, Derek, for someone who didn't know what we were talking about, how would you describe it?
Well, I've woke up on my own, but I'm going to be going to my eldest daughter's lunchtime. Spending a fantastic day with her 3 children and her other half.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow I'll be going to my youngest daughter with her 2 sons and her partner. And we'll be just having a fantastic Christmas, all of us, really. I think, really, with life, you have to shake yourself, get up and just do what you can. Whatever you're able to do. I belong to a cycling group, so I'll get out cycling.
Oh, good boy.
Yeah, Love it. Cycling twice a week.
Oh.
This year, I've been in a little pantomime at a local theatre.
Who did you play?
I played a killer rabbit and a guard.
Killer rabbit and a guard?
And a guard, yeah, in Puss in Boots. It was great.
I don't remember the role of the killer rabbit in Puss in Boots.
No, I don't think there ever was, not until I arrived.
There's one in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but I don't remember the one in that. Have a lovely day, Derek. It's a pleasure to speak to you, and make sure you ring LBC again, all right? Don't let this be a one-off.
Have a lovely Christmas, anyway.
You too. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, wonderful. You are listening to me, Ian Payne, here with your Christmas Day breakfast. In the next hour, this...
comes rolling.
Thanks very much. I feel very important now. Buckingham Palace has given royal fans a behind-the-scenes glimpse ahead of the broadcast of King Charles' Christmas speech this afternoon, I think 3 o'clock. For the second time in his reign, the monarch recorded it outside of a royal residence, opting for the Henry VII Lady Chapel at Westminster Abbey. But are royal Christmas messages still important to you? What about the role of the royal family? Sarah Ferguson... Andrew, who else? Harry, they're not going to be there at the Royal Christmas. Are we seeing a breakup? Also...
At its heart, Christmas speaks of love taking form in the simplest, most human ways. Not in sentimental or grand gestures, but gentle ones.
The Princess of Wales and her daughter have delivered a surprise Christmas television performance showing off their musical skills, mother and daughter... featured at the beginning of Kate's annual carol service. We'll take a little listen. Tell me about the royal family. Are they losing their relevance?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, weather warnings for cold and windy conditions will come into force across this Christmas Day. The UK Health Security Agency has issued a cold health alert from 6 o'clock this evening and a warning of a potential impact to the health service, while the Met Office has a warning in place for strong winds in the southwest and Wales. Jonathan Vautry from the Met Office has told LBC it's highly unlikely that we'll get a white Christmas this year.
There is just this very small system that's bringing those showers across the very far south coast. But really, because they're travelling over the sea, which is going to be relatively mild, they're unlikely to be really bringing that much in the way of wintry precipitation. So any sort of white today is going to be the frost that's around first thing this morning.
Organisers of some traditional Christmas and Boxing Day swim events across Devon and Cornwall say they've had to cancel theirs due to safety concerns. The Health Secretary has told LBC it's a nice feeling to tell the public the government have delivered on bringing down hospital waiting lists. And speaking to Nick Ferrari at Christmas, Wes Streeting has been asked about his own future.
This time next year, will you be making your mystery shopper trips to hospitals as Health Secretary or Prime Minister?
As Health Secretary.
So Keir will still be Prime Minister?
I expect so.
And you can listen to the full interview on Nick Ferrari at Christmas from 1 o'clock. We're being encouraged to reach out to older family members, neighbours and friends this Christmas. Age UK says more than 600,000 people won't see or speak to anyone today. More than 1.5 million people will be eating alone. And for the first time ever, a Christmas service has been uploaded to the internet for those not able to attend church today. LBC's Joe Hawkins reports.
The Church of England has released an online Christmas Day service specifically designed for people working shifts. It features a gospel reading and the incoming Archbishop of Canterbury, Sarah Mullally.
Your work reflects the heart of Christ, who came not to be served but to serve. Although not always easy, it's a privilege to be with people who need us most at this time. Your dedication brings light and hope into the lives of those who need it most.
It's been created to be listened to in a break from work, as more than 1 million people are estimated to be working in the UK over Christmas Day.
LBC weather. A mostly dry Christmas day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with a high of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm David Dom.
Come in. Shoes off.
What's the Wi-Fi?
Am I seeing the new series I'm binging?
Please, can we listen to something that isn't Christmas music?
Can you search how to defrost a turkey quickly?
Everyone, we're going to video call Auntie Audrey now.
Mom, Joe's talking to telly again.
Can we share a video of the dog in his outfit?
Hosting this Christmas? You need the UK's best broadband technology. EE does more.
Full fibre is the UK's most reliable broadband technology. Ofcom's Broadband Terminology Research, March 2023. Verify at ee.uk/claims.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Good morning, 5 minutes past eight, Ian Payne with you. Slightly later time of the day for me. This Christmas, I'm here today, Christmas Day, Happy Christmas, and tomorrow on Boxing Day. We've talked about loneliness, or is it just people choosing to be alone? We'll talk about another familiar Christmas favourite topic, and that is the royal family. What a year. I don't really know where to start, so let's ask someone who knows a lot more about them than I do. Our guest is Margaret Holder, British royal biographer, journalist and commentator, known for her books and articles focusing on the British royal family. We don't know what's in the King's address later. I shouldn't imagine it'll be controversial, Margaret, but what a year with the royal family. Where do we start?
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas.
Dear. And it has been quite a year. The speech has been recorded in Westminster Abbey in the Lady Chapel, which is a phenomenally beautiful place. It's also the burial area of 15 previous monarchs. So there is the view of the current king standing in the heart of history, reminding us of the continuity of the monarchy. That's a visual symbol there. The theme is thought to be around pilgrimage. That's just a hint that's come out, but we don't know until the speech is released.
What would that mean to you?
We don't really know. No. Maybe a spiritual pilgrimage for the king himself.
Because I see.
He's been ill. Mm. He's been, as we know, suffering from cancer and has had treatment, which is going to be scaled down in the new year, which is good news. His daughter-in-law, the Princess of Wales, has also been treated for cancer, and hopefully, she looks good, and hopefully she will make a full recovery too. So there's a sense of a personal pilgrimage here and sort of re-examining what really matters in their lives. It's difficult for Charles because he's been beset by family problems. The two errant princes, his own son, Harry, in the States, can still cause trouble. And then there is the former Prince Andrew, who was one of those who's going to be alone at Christmas, we think, at Royal Lodge. A terribly difficult time for Charles. He has stripped his brother of remaining honours, took away what people considered his birthright to be called Prince. If you look back in history, the last monarch who, I think, sorted out an errant brother more brutally, you go back to 1478 when the Duke of Clarence was drowned allegedly in a butt of Malmsey wine by the order of Edward IV. I mean, no butt of Malmsey wine for Andrew, but it's a modern equivalent. Everything is taken from him.
Well, there you are. He's got off lightly then in that case.
He got off lightly.
What do you make of the current popularity of the royal family? Charles has strimmed it. Just those who have a direct accession to the crown and their immediate family, working royals. I was just looking at quite an interesting kind of litmus test for how popular the royal family are is to look at the viewing figures for the Queen / King's address on Christmas Day, and it's still going down, isn't it?
Yes, I think that there's less interest now. A lot of support for the monarchy went with the death of Elizabeth II, who had been such a figure in our lives for as long as many people can remember. And Charles has a checkered history, as we know, in his personal life. But I think what he's trying to do is he is guarding his legacy. He's creating his legacy. He came to the throne very late. He's got to protect that for the continuity of the monarchy. And I think one of the problems is that he's had to sanitize the monarchy by taking these actions against Prince Andrew. Some say he hasn't gone far enough. Others think he's gone too far. But it's a very difficult line to tread.
Who thinks he's gone too far? I've never heard that one.
Well, I think some people have different opinions, whether he should have taken away the title prince because it was his birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Other people think we shouldn't have kings and queens and princes and princesses, and those days should be gone. So you have some widely differing opinions about royalty these days, and not just here, incidentally, across Europe, in the monarchies in Europe. And some of those have been beset by problems too. So I think we're looking at an era where we will see some changes coming. And one of the areas that Charles and then William will have to face is a growing demand for transparency and accountability.
Yeah. Well, we know that, don't we? When the Duke of Edinburgh had his infamous behind-the-scenes documentary on the BBC in the 70s, and now his wife, Queen Elizabeth, said that will never be shown on television again. It was a disaster. You can't reveal The Wizard of Oz, can you? They've got to remain a bit of a mystery.
Well, there's very little mystery left, except that people think that they shouldn't have such a privileged position and that they shouldn't be able to swerve laws of Parliament and make sure that they don't apply to them. There is that view these days. And, of course, that year, 1969, the year of the Royal Family broadcast that you mentioned, was re-shown on Christmas Day, and that's the one year the Queen didn't do a broadcast message. There was a written message rather than a broadcast one. See, the only one that she didn't do, and she felt they'd reached saturation point.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think it's been a good year for the King?
It's good in the sense that, as he has told us, that his cancer treatment will be scaled down. So that there's a sense that he's come through the worst of it. So personally, that's been good. They've had some successes that you've seen, the Donald Trump visit, where the King could exercise soft power, as we call it, where, drawing nations together. That's one of the aspects of monarchy. He's had good times and I think some very bad times. I think that the situation with Harry only has marginally improved for the King, but certainly not for Prince William. And I think the situation with Andrew just got steadily worse when more emails came out, and apparently there's more to come.
No, I know. I was just reading that this morning. I think I would commend him for one thing and one thing only. One thing above everything else, and that's the way that he deals with foreign dignitaries, particularly European foreign dignitaries, as well as Donald Trump, with the German president being over here, and Macron, etc., etc. I think he handles those occasions brilliantly, don't you think?
I think he handled them well. I think it's his mother who could handle things brilliantly with all heads of state, no matter how difficult they were. She gave the masterclass in that. And I think Charles learned from her. And yes, he has behaved well, definitely. Mm. And the use of soft power, as we call it, is evident.
Definitely.
And it is above and beyond the intricacies of our parliamentary figures. People like Starmer, could not exercise that kind of role. So that's one of the aspects of people who want to keep the monarchy, because it is above politics.
Wonderful. Thank you, Margaret. Have a happy Christmas.
Thank you,
thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, I'm just reading now, 1 million new Epstein files discovered. This is going to go on forever, isn't it? And the thing is, you see, it's become a polarised political hot potato in America, which is why it's not going away. The Democrats are determined to get some mud on the president, and the president equally so. And any time there's any suspicion of something being redacted and not being redacted because of the victims, it just, honestly, 1 million? God, what a library Epstein had. So I don't necessarily want to get bogged down in Epstein and Andrew, although I'm reading with interest a couple of you thinking it's gone too far. Michael says, I think everything's got too far with Prince Andrew. Do you have any sympathy for him? I mean, there's so many questions about the royal family. Will you be watching the speech today? fewer and fewer of us are. It's the younger generation who just don't really care so much, to be honest. We've got two 20-somethings next door. Will you be watching the speech to a no and a no? Yeah, I don't. It's like my mum always insists that we watch it. I have to admit, I kind of watched it under duress, but it was on while I was in the room, I'll say that. But it's just the same thing, really, every year, I think. I don't, you know, I'd be interested if he said something that was maybe political, but he'll get slammed down for doing that. So, honestly, we have a rich pasture in front of us. It's called the Royal Family's Year. What did you make of it? Are you looking forward to the speech? And are we beginning to grow tired of the Royal Family or not? My God, they've survived far worse crises than this. This is nothing compared to some of the stuff that they've had to survive over the years. And let's face it, the Royal Family, their mantra is, we survive. And if you have to dump brothers, sisters, cousins, then that's what they do, because their raison d'etre is to survive. So, as I say, there's a lot of material there. I'm not going to specify one particular topic because there are so many. It's Harry and Meghan, it's Andrew and Sarah Ferguson, it's the King being ill, it's Charlotte and her mother playing piano. Not bad, actually, and you'll hear their duet in just a moment. It's 8:15.
This is LBC.
Come on, guys, we're late!
Mum, can I borrow your phone quickly?
Are we there yet?
Can someone check we're going the right way on maps, please?
Are we there yet?
Oh, my phone's out of battery.
Here you go, use mine.
Can someone call Nan to let her know we're on our way?
Oh, are we there yet?
Guesting this Christmas? You need the UK's best mobile network. EE does more.
UK's best network. Root metrics data H125. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the art and design industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Keo, an art and design student in year 12.
As an art student, we get the chance to work on our own pieces, either in the studio or using the digital software. Some of my work has also been shown in galleries, and last week I got the chance to attend a design agency to learn more about my future career.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Fanning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling and the whole world smiles with you.
FanningDental.co.uk.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
So will you be watching the King's Speech or King's Address later on, 3 o'clock, normal time? It's coming from Westminster Abbey, got a beautiful setting for it. What's he going to talk about? We haven't really been given any tidbits to feast on yet. We're going to have to wait for it. Normally, I remember when I was, I'm pretty sure when I was growing up, it was on the radio at 8 o'clock in the morning or something, one of the BBC stations, and then it was replayed in the television. Did I imagine that? Or I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But is there a growing disharmony between the public and the royal family? It's been a very difficult year for them. By no means the most difficult year, because if you look back in history, you'll find some pretty torrid times. Murder, intrigue, forget losing your title. Some people lost their head. If you have an opinion about the royal family, good, bad or indifferent, I'd love to hear from it. Because how many people will watch the King's Address today? Like I say, beginning of the century, it was like 20 million people. Almost everyone you knew watched the Queen deliver her address. probably nothing surprising in there. It was always just something that you did. It was traditional. Now, from 20 million, last year was something like 7 million. And just two or three years before, it was 10 million. Whether or not that's because of the change of monarch, I don't know. Will you be watching? Do you always watch? And has the reputation of the royal family been damaged? I think the thing that's beginning to sort of eat away is that these access of information requests that come from mainly newspapers, but media organisations, is beginning, like the peppercorn rent. Who knew about that? We didn't know about that, did we? And Edward's doing it too. And Princess Alexandra, who's got this wonderful house in Richmond Park, been there living almost rent-free since 1960s. Something like that. You know, should members of the royal family who aren't direct descendants of the throne, really, that's the Queen's cousin. Nothing against her. I mean, she's an old lady and she's done an enormous amount of good. But I think the public are beginning to think maybe it's something to do with the cost of living crisis. It's like, well, hold on a minute. This is a bit, you know, he's been living there for how long? And how much has he been paying? That's ridiculous. This is how you get in touch with us, same way as always. The number is the same number as the WhatsApp number. 0345 606 0973. WhatsApp number the same, 0345 606 0973. You will get through at the moment, but it's filling up. 0345 606 0973. Tell me about your views of the royal family. Is it indifference? Because that's how I feel people are. They don't hate it, they don't love it, they just go meh. Here's Davey in Durham. Hello, what do you think, Davey?
Mr. Payne, a very, very Merry Christmas
to you, sir. And to you, and to you.
Yeah, the royal family, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because what's the difference between privilege and benefit? And is the royal family any different to any other family in terms of their trials and tribulations? Or is it publicised significantly more because they're famous?
Oh, I think it's slightly on a grander scale, aren't you? Don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I know some. I mean, I'm not going to go into it for obvious reasons because I don't want to get my head kicked in. But I know lots of families that are going through similar trials and tribulations, but they manage to keep the lid on it because it isn't. And I can use the word sexy. It's not sexy, and it doesn't mix on newspapers.
Well, their brother's friend of a paedophile.
On one particular, I've got to admit, yeah.
Okay.
And having spent a lot of time in London, I'm ex-military and now I'm in the fire service.
Right.
When you're trying to sell a product, Ian, or you're trying to sell something, what you've got to do is you've got to stand above the crowd. You've got to be better. And in terms of the royal family, is there a royal family better at pomp and circumstance? And I was absolutely no chance whatsoever. They are really, really
How are they an... I know that you're a royalist, yeah?
Yes, I am,
Are they an asset to the country? I would still say, yes, they are.
And I would agree with you. They are an asset. And what they are is if there was a league of royal families, and there probably is somewhere, right, they're going to be number one. They're going to be A-plus, treble star, stuff like that. They're going to be really, really good.
I'd need to do a little bit more research. In Europe, definitely. I'm not sure around the world, though. I think Thailand would probably still be up there as number one, wouldn't they? The old King and I in Siam, that kind of thing. I think they, you know, there's their regard. And in Japan... Is it not still a royal family who and various Eastern culture? I don't know. I'd need to check that. But in Europe, I'd agree. They still have more power than any of them.
Yeah, and I think, but if you were to put three programs on the television and they named the two royal families that you suggested there and ours, I think there'd be more people worldwide watching it because we do a lot of great things. You know, we're great at sport. We've got some fantastic people, great musicians, the best fire service in the world, and I am slightly biased. And the military is pretty good, although there's depleted amounts.
Yeah, I think sometimes a little, not arrogant, but just sort of pompous to suggest that ours are the best just because we don't really do much coverage, do we, of certain stuff. I mean, you know, in Europe, I would definitely say so. And you know, up there with the oldest, maybe not quite China, but, you know, up there.
But you know what, Ian? Then therefore, if we're in the top three, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Top three for what, though?
Top three for pomp and circumstance and doing it right, history of it, getting it right on the day. I mean, you look at the guys that carried the late Queen all that time, they were just on it. But they were just
I agree with you. And in terms of the image and the impact that they make worldwide, it's huge, certainly in the West. Anyway, because whenever, you know, the number of American crews and Canadian crews and crews from all over the world who are, you know, in Windsor for any kind of royal event like that. But a lot of people would say, yeah, but, you know, is that how they view Britain now, as some sort of nostalgic pomp and ceremony without any meaning?
But if they do, Ian, and it sets us apart from claims we're competitors in terms of travel and tourism, if they do judge us in that sort of league, then is that a bad thing? I think it's a good thing.
No, I still think it's good to hold on to something that people know you for. And that's what, whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, there aren't many things that Britain today can still say that is, it's like, you know, the brand of Coca-Cola. It's, our brand is the royal family, pomp and ceremony and Shakespeare, you know, but they're all a little old. It'd be nice to be the forefront for making chips or something, as in not edible chips, but you know what I mean, computer chips.
Well, have you tasted my chips?
Lovely. All right, mate, have a great day. Happy Christmas. Here's one of my regulars. Here's Mark. Morning.
Oh, good morning, mate. So much low-hanging fruit on this one, eh?
Yeah. What are you cooking today? Mark's a chef,
I'm a rampant Republican.
Are you?
Sorry?
What are you cooking? You cooking Christmas dinner, presumably?
I am. It's going to be the turkey, but it won't be dry.
Okay, fair enough.
Go on. I cook it breast side down first off, but anyway, that's another discussion. So, here we go.
Are you a goose fan for the potatoes?
I certainly do.
Oh, yes, I'm coming round.
And it's very hot and almost smoking before I put them in.
Woohoo! On you go. Yeah. Let's talk about the royal family.
Right, so I find it quite... I'm ex-military, by the way, as well, so I did quite a long time. I am a rampant Republican. I served with Andrew in the Navy.
Did you?
Dullard, there he is. I withdraw that statement.
He's not here.
No, he's not here to defend himself.
Right.
And neither anywhere else. Anyway, look at it this way. There was a TV series that I caught that my daughter in the state told me about. So he said, Dad, you've got to watch this. It's called The Royal Family. And it's like this working class family of people who are doing this. And I go, let's put it into perspective. Right. Today he's going to do his speech. He's going to pontificate to us about the environment. This is a guy who
We don't know that.
No, he will. He will. He always does.
Okay.
And so his son talks about the homeless and being in charge of charities and this, and we should house the homeless. Well, I tell you what, you've got seven palaces, mate. Let's put a few people in there.
Oh, to be fair to William, hasn't he set aside some of his duchy to build new houses?
Oh, yeah, but he's also decided that he's not going to declare the amount of income that he earns because he doesn't want to pay tax on it. Unlike his father, who did, who's now a billionaire. Now there's Kelsa Breeze. I mean,
Mark, or would you like to be Charles the King?
And what, in terms of
now,
money,
right now,
money, that's...
Knowing what, everything right now, about... Yeah, right now, would you like to be or him?
I love my life,
there
and
you
I
go.
Tell you what... well, you know, but he sits in a position of privilege.
Would you rather be you now or Andrew?
Oh, now that's a loaded question, mate.
Why?
Come on.
Surely you'd choose you, wouldn't you? Would you really like to be him now?
Everybody has a weird uncle, and he's theirs. But, you know, the Queen Mother had one of her sisters banged up that nobody talks about, so...
You mean the people in the psychiatric unit?
Yeah, the whole thing is a farce.
Yeah.
People talk about benefit claimants. These people get £175 million a year from us, the taxpayer. Now, if that's not the world's largest benefit claim, I don't know what is. So
getting
into perspective, they don't pay tax.
Listen.
They don't.
I've got a big question.
They don't live in our world, mate.
I've got a big question for you.
Go on, go for it.
Christmas pudding or no Christmas pudding?
Well, I'm a fan of Christmas pudding, but nobody else in my family likes it.
Brandy butter?
No, don't do that. No, I'm old-fashioned.
You set fire to it?
No, I don't do that either.
Really? You have bread pudding?
No, because it's already cooked enough as it is. So if you've steamed it properly, it's fine.
If it's good, why don't we have it at other times during the year? It's pants.
Well, why don't we eat turkey at any other time of the year?
We're not. We're having goose today. So,
oh, lovely. Make sure that you've taken some of the fat out of the cavity before you cook it.
I'm not giving any advice to my sister at all.
Well, I wouldn't do that either. Let's my sister's over from the States. And she's a genius of the family. She's a professor.
No, my sister's
a genius on everything. Yeah, well, she's a genius in everything. And I'm a chef. And I know that today when I'm cooking, she's going to be standing over me. And it's like, stand back from the potatoes, Patricia.
Because you're concentrating on the stuff. And they're like trying to sidetrack you. And you're going, either help or go away. There's nothing in between. Nothing.
Yeah, there's a bottle of Baileys over there. Please go and help yourself.
That's what we think. Happy Christmas to you, Mark, and to everyone you're having Christmas dinner with. That's one of our chefs. Listen, let me let you into a secret. If you're a parent of some lively children who have been causing you grief since probably, what's the earliest they normally get up? 3? Something like that? We had that. Our kids would be up about 3. Go on a computer and show them. Just Google Santa Claus tracking, and you'll go to a website run by NORAD, very impressive American organisation, and there is Santa, and you can see him, and I'm actually looking. He's approaching Fairbanks in Alaska now, and he's still delivering presents. He has delivered, since he started, 7,608,000,000 presents so far. Just show the kids that, and if they're of a certain age, they'll be like, wow, Santa on video. It is 8:30. Let's get the Christmas Day news headlines with David Dom.
Yellow alerts for cold weather are coming into effect this Christmas Day across the southwest of England. There are also warnings for strong winds across the southwest and Wales. The Health Secretary has told LBC he expects Sir Keir Starmer to still be Prime Minister next Christmas, where Streeting's previously denied claims he wants to remove the Prime Minister from Downing Street. And officials in Russia are looking at the latest American-backed proposals to end the war with Ukraine. They include plans to demilitarise eastern parts of the country. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas Day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with a high of 7 degrees.
I'm Andrew Marr. Thank you for joining me throughout the year on LBC.
You could say to the British people on Budget Day, look, things are really bad, therefore I have to raise income tax. So tomorrow I'm going to resign as Chancellor of the Exchequer, having done the right thing.
And what do you think would happen in financial markets if I did that?
It depends who took over.
President Trump seems to be waking up every morning with a new idea, and be it tariffs or something else. In my personal opinion, I don't think he's thought it through.
What's your verdict so far on how it's going?
Despair of the risk-free, be all things to all men approach of Keir Starmer, which I think is a fool's errand.
I'll be back in the new year leading Britain's conversation.
Ticket, please.
Thank you.
Tickets, please, madam.
Sure, let me just... Oh, this jacket's got so many pockets.
No rush.
Got it on eBay. Vintage, one of a kind.
I just need your ticket, madam.
Couldn't find it anywhere. Then, ta-da, eBay. Total bargain.
That's... nice.
Thank you.
But I still need to see your ticket.
Oh, yes, sure. With great deals on things you love, you can't help but say when it's eBay, things people love.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat, and she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
4 beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
So will you be watching the King's Address later at 3 o'clock? The numbers are dwindling. They're still in the millions, but they're getting smaller year by year. Are you still as interested in the royal family as you were, or maybe your previous parents' generation were? Have a listen to the musical talents of the royal family. Here is the Princess of Wales, who hosted her annual Christmas Carol concert at Westminster Abbey last night, and she played with her left hand, and her daughter Charlotte played with her right hand. They played this piece, Holme Sound, by Erland Cooper.
At its heart, Christmas speaks of love taking form in the simplest, most human ways. Not in sentimental or grand gestures, but gentle ones. A moment of listening. A word of comfort. A friendly conversation. A helping hand. Presents. These simple acts of care might seem small, but they contribute to the beautiful tapestry of life to which we all belong. Christmas is a time that reminds us how deeply our lives are woven together. Just as the roots of trees share strength between the soil, unseen but vital, so too do we. We are drawn by an instinctive pull towards belonging and connection. At a time when life can sometimes feel fragmented or uncertain, the Christmas season invites us to remember the power of reaching out to one another. Understanding and hope. This carol service offers a moment of collective togetherness, a chance to celebrate the spirit of community and service, and to honour the visible and invisible bonds that unite us all.
So there we are.
The time, care and compassion you give.
Sorry, Your Highness. It went on a tiny bit longer, but not much. But, that, you know, it's lovely, beautiful, and some talented royal children coming through the ranks. But how relevant are the royal family to you? Will you be watching the King's speech or address later today? And if you are, is it something you always do? We just do it out of habit. We'll be watching it this afternoon out of habit. I don't really know what's in it. Apparently there's an homage to pilgrimage. I'm not quite sure what that means. It's probably something to do with Charles's journey and his health issues, and indeed Catherine's health issues as well. One of the younger members of the newsroom today said, I bet he's going to have to address and mention Andrew. I was going, you are joking, aren't you? Not a chance in not a chance. Let's go straight to the phone lines. If you'd like to get in touch, you'll have to hurry because we've only got two slots left. 0345 6060 973. The relevance of the royal family. Will you be watching? The numbers are dwindling every year. Derek's in Hendon. Happy Christmas.
Hold on with the language,
though. Come on.
I know.
All right, don't
but
say that.
It's like David Beckham joining the queue to go past the Queen's thing, the piano playing. This guy, Charles, he had it all stacked up. The establishment, he's getting £1 million a week from the government. £1 million a week with 15 homes, with an extra £150 million a year to do up the Buckingham Palace, and food has gone up 35%, and the establishment, and everything's a bloody secret, And I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Why do you feel so strongly about it?
We don't need the royal family.
I can hear
look,
it. In,
Wait.
I'm going to take you down because I want to ask a question. I know you feel strongly about this. Why do you feel so strongly about this?
I believe in social justice. I was born in the Second World War and I lived in a council flat. Margaret Thatcher sold them all off. We've got the asylum seekers turning up going to a hotel. We got, why don't they, all the people sleeping rough, why don't they put them in hotels and throw the bloody asylum seekers out? I mean, there's so much. And the establishment, and it's not only, he thinks he's Henry VIII. He actually thinks he's Henry VIII.
Why
he's going to turn
up
at someone's castle with a 200 or 300 courtiers to be entertained for 4 or 5 days. I mean, he's living in the past. Even his speech today, he's going into a chapel where 15 previous kings from the 13th, 14th century.
Well, you've got to feel a bit sorry for him because the lorry drivers who deliver the oil to Sandringham are on strike at the moment, so it could be a chilly palace. Des.
And you don't think that the people around him, because he may be upset about this, right?
Yeah.
Because maybe the guy who's putting his toothpaste on his brush won't. You don't think they'll make other arrangements for him? Come
no,
on.
Of course they will.
I met him years ago, and I was involved with the Prince's Trust at the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
And he walked in the room, and I didn't stand up, and he threw me a dirty look, and I was finished with him.
Yes. Sorry, is that a true story?
Yes.
You didn't stand up for the king and he threw you a dirty look.
That's right. Oh. And I don't want to be involved with him anymore.
Okay, well,
we don't need it. Look, we've got the tower. We've got the Tower of London.
Yeah.
All the tourists will come here anyway. We've got the Edinburgh Tattoo and all. We could have the troop in the colour without them. And everybody will come.
How much are you looking forward to?
You've got the Louvre, you've got the Taj Mahal. People don't stop going there because there's no bloody...
like Versailles.
You know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes, exactly.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you looking forward to his address this afternoon?
Well, he's going to look... It's a massive PR exercise, isn't it?
No sympathy for him being ill?
No, what about all the people waiting to be treated?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I left 15, two dozen doctors.
Just wanted to check to see if there was a plethora of, or just a tiny, tiny pipette full of sympathy for him. But no. Here's Jill in, are you in Stockport today?
Yes, I am.
Why are you not in Essex?
Because I've come to my friend to have a break.
Oh, yeah. Well, you deserve a break, Jill. Jill is one of our great listeners. Done so much for the blind. She's invented things. Still waiting for your guide dog, though.
Yes, nearly 3 years in February.
Amazing.
And, you know, I just want to say a Merry Christmas to you and your mum and all those other 1,000 blind people that are waiting like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a guide dog. But for people like Derek, appreciate your life that you've got. Appreciate your sight. And if you're fit and able, appreciate that and live each day as it comes along. That's what I've had to do now for, 85 years.
You've met some of the royal family, I bet.
I've met many of them. Mm. I met Diana and Charles a week before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
I met the Queen 3 times when I got my MBE, and then I met Princess Anne when I got my OBE.
Mm.
And I did meet Andrew at a Mobility Roadshow, and you know, they've just always been very. When I met the Queen once, I was telling her really all about my guide dog, and I was there for the RNRB, and I showed her my talking watch.
Talking watch?
Yeah, and she said, that is fascinating, because I made it talk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that is fascinating. It was really, you know, it was such a natural thing that people do, you know, when you show them equipment and that. So, anyway, I just wanted to say wish
you
all
a very, very good Christmas message, and I think I'll listen to your annual address as well. Jill, have a lovely day. Thank you very much. And love
and
to your husband,
Ian,
as well. All right. Thank you very much. There's Jill, one of our esteemed listeners. 18 minutes to 9. We're talking about the royal family. Will you be watching the King's address later this afternoon? We can't tell you what's going to be in it. Something about a pilgrimage, something presumably about his health, some reference to it. But the numbers who are watching this thing get smaller every year. Is that significant? Christine is in Ilford. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Happy
I will
Christmas.
Not be watching The King on the telly.
Why not? All.
Because, you know, the last time he spoke, he disgusted me by saying, I hope you're all paying your rent so that I can live.
What? He said what? He said what? When?
He said, I hope you're all paying your rent.
I don't know what that is. But anyway,
Well,
that...
you know, he lives on the taxes of others, doesn't he? So when The Queen was on, I did enjoy listening to it because she was genuine.
And but she was living in the same kind of luxury that he is now.
She was a lot more genuine. And people should realise we have this time of the year to represent the birth of Christ and not all the presents and givings out that people are doing now. You know, they don't treat Christmas as it should be. It's all, oh, I want this gift and I want that gift. And the King also wants a gift.
Well, let me ask a question I raised earlier. If you met somebody who'd never been to a Christmas in a country where they celebrate Christmas, if they had no idea what was going on and they said to you, Christine, what's Christmas all about? What would you say?
The birth of Christ.
So you'd keep it religious?
Definitely.
All right. Well,
that's what it's for, isn't it?
For many people, yes.
People
not for everybody.
Who are making money.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Christine. That's one view. Let me read out some text. Being an Irish Republican, says Tony, I cannot abide the royal family. Their behaviour and self-entitlement is sickening, not forgetting their atrocities against people in the Empire and the people of Ireland. Now, Nick Ferrari was on at this time of the day earlier in the week, and he was talking about the number of engagements that the royal family did. And top of the pile is not Princess Anne, she was second, but actually the King. So in 365 odd days, I think he did something like 700 or 800. So was it was certainly in the 600s, I think, engagements during the year, which is an astonishing. And you may just, you know, discard him and say, well, he's just a rich billionaire, he can afford to. That's a hell of a workload, don't you think? You're listening to Ian Payne on Christmas Day. Happy Christmas. Make sure you show your excited kids the NORAD Santa Claus tracking system. He is currently, I'll just check in with him. Do you want to see how many presents he's delivered and where he is? He is currently, this is the NORAD tracking center. Oh, he's just left the United States and he's in Kodiak, Alaska at the moment. And he's so far delivered 7.7 billion presents. It's 8:45.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the new LBC app.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at 2. We said 3. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including Well Man, Well Woman, Well Baby and Well Kid. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the content production industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Daisy, a technical content production student in year 12.
We've already learned how to create content and work with employers in the media industry. I love working in the studio, making my own podcast, and can't wait to start my 45-day work placement next term.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. Globalacademy.com.
when you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
This is LBC. Message Ian Payne on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
Good morning. We're talking about the relevance or otherwise of the royal family. The king is making his address. It's been recorded, but he's going to be put out on the television at around about 3 o'clock, well, probably exactly 3 o'clock. And I'm just wondering, with audiences for that dwindling each year, are we losing interest in the royal family, or is it just a temporary blip? Let's get very busy on the phones this morning. I must address a factual error I made. So Charles, actually, he had it 532 engagements over the last year, and Princess Anne was second, or the Princess Royal, 478. Sorry, I overestimated. Let's go to Becky, who's in Dis. Hello, Becky. Will you be watching the address today?
Hello. Good morning. And happy Christmas to you and your lovely team.
Thank you very much.
Will I be watching? Absolutely, I'll be watching. Of course I will. It's tradition.
It's tradition or something you enjoy?
No, it's tradition, isn't it? I don't really mind what they say, but we're always gathered round and we make everyone, you know, I force my kids to watch and, you know, as I was.
Do they want to?
It's tradition. Yeah. I don't care if they do or not.
Really? Okay. Why is it important?
It's part of our life, isn't it? You know, they're there. I respect them most of the time. I feel really sorry for King Charles, and I feel most sorry for Andrew's daughters. I just can't bear it. I mean, that
all right, they're skiing, aren't they, at the moment? I think.
I don't blame them. Honestly, I just feel absolutely mortified for them. They must be just mortified.
Do you have any sympathy for their dad?
No, unfortunately not. No, he's absolute stain on that family's copybook. But I never used to think very much of King Charles at all. I used to think he was a bit of a drip. And but in, you know, later years, I think he's really come into his own, and I do think that he is sincere. I was absolutely laughing my head off at Angry Derek, who's so cross about it all. I also work in social justice. I work with the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people get upset when they're in lack, and I do really feel that.
Okay. And do you think that the royal family is in crisis at the moment?
I don't think it's in crisis at all, no.
Okay, good. For some support, thank you. Bit of balance there. Let's go to Roger. This is the first time he's called LBC. He's in Cambridge. Good morning. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you too.
You looking forward to watching the address?
What I want to say is I think William and Catherine and their captivating young daughter Charlotte are absolutely gorgeous, and the two young chief mistresses and boys a real credit to the country and the nation. I managed to embrace royalty with Kipling and Kipling's comment that there's a commonality to their reality. They are of us, and they are common, and they are warm, and they're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great couple. It's a great example. It's just that it's not Hollywood publicity. It's something quite unique. It's nothing to do with Trump and his embracement of this country. We don't need that.
Why do you think people like Derek feel so strongly against them?
I think it's an old class battle from foregone years, before years. In terms of natural reality is you think, well, what is normal about having a royal family? But I've lived it. I'm a professor of linguistics and literature, mm-hmm. and I've lived with it since 1066. And then in the whole engagement of history and blood and loyalty. Then I respect all the Norwegian and Danish royalties. But ours is not a sense of supremacy. It's a sense of grace and charm and connectability. And so why do all the wild masses speak and embrace it on public occasions?
Very positive thoughts. Roger, sorry, I'm only ending it because I need to speak to a few more people. There's quite a few who've been waiting a while. Joseph says, please stop talking about this dysfunctional family. I'm switching over to another station until later. But, who's this from? Russ in Carshalton. Humbug. Puritan radio. Happy Christmas. Every morning, day and evening, scrap the monarchy, scrap the House of Lords and anything else ceremonial. Let's be boring, dull and grey with an orange president. Same old, and don't forget to ban smoking and shut the pubs and ban alcohol, says Russ from Carshalton. Let's go to Jude. Oh, wait a minute. Before I was going to speak to you, Jude, just hold on a minute. What's this about? This is President Trump, who's been tracking Santa Claus from his living room in Palm Beach. Oh, he's on the NORAD tracking thing. Yes. this is Donald Trump talking about Santa Claus, and he still managed to make it political.
Well, we track Santa all over the world. We want to make sure that Santa is being good. Santa's a very good person. We want to make sure that he's not infiltrated, that we're not infiltrating into our country a bad Santa. So we found out that Santa is good.
Thank you.
Santa loves you. Santa loves Oklahoma like I do. You know, Oklahoma was very good to me in the election, so I love Oklahoma. Don't ever leave Oklahoma, okay?
So that was the president speaking to a 10-year-old boy who rang up from Oklahoma to give him the message. Is Santa technically an illegal immigrant? Is that what we're saying? And does it matter? I mean, if it's going through, because at the moment it's in Canadian airspace, Santa. So technically, I don't know. What do you think? We should get ICE involved, should we? Sorry, Judy, you were saying. Morning.
Good morning. I did watch the concert last night.
All right.
It was, from beginning to end, it was wonderful. It was all that is good and kind in this country of ours, and the princess had highlighted groups of people that are doing wonderful things in their own community that would never normally have got the publicity that they did. And to those people and to any charity or organisation whereby there is a link with the royals, it means the world to that little charity if they have a visit from their patron, if it is one of the royals. And I think one should look at it from that side sometimes, from the good that they do and the change that they can make. Diana did in her day, and Prince William is carrying it on. He took George to the, I think it's called the Passage Centre for Homeless. He took him there the other night. And you know, there is a lot of good out there that the royals do, but if it doesn't touch your lives, perhaps you know, cast it to one side. But I would say to anybody, the concert last night, it was absolutely wondrous. It made me cry. It touched my heart. And and you could see on the people's faces.
Will you be watching The King this afternoon?
Yeah, I will. It'll probably be on the radio.
Okay.
And, but anyway, look, I've said it before. Thank you again for everything you do, and give my love to your mum. Give her a hug from me.
All
when
right.
You
well,
see
you give
her.
Us give your love to your cat and to Margaret as well, who you look after. This could be interesting. Here's John in Brighton. What's your take on the royal family, John?
Yeah, great to hear you at this time.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice to be awake.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's great drama what's going to happen with the King and the Christmas broadcast. You know, he's going to carry on with a stiff British upper lip, ignore the scandal in the background.
Well, he has to, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, obviously he has to, but that's life. I mean, that's just normal life in families. I mean, families, there's trouble in families. Families are at war and things like that, and they just carry on regardless. That's just part of life. I mean, you know, you've got the Andrew scandal. He's going to destroy America anyway. It's ready to blow up in America with Trump and the celebrities over there. It's going to, you know, they found another million documents with Epstein. It's going to blow up there for the next however many years, and he's got to carry on. I mean, it's what we've got to do.
I think so, and I don't think he'll be mentioning Andrew or indeed Harry. Let's finish off, I think, with some positivity. This is a man who is from originally Colombia. It's Nelson. He's in Bermondsey here in South London. Good morning. What do you think of the royal family?
Good morning, Ian. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Well, I am here since 1975. It has been innovated to me. Also, I am joined and I like the royal family, and I am a bell ringer for the crown.
A bell ringer for the crown. Good man. Could Colombia do with a royal family?
What we'll do if we change the system is better that.
Okay, and you think what? The our royal family brings some stability to the UK?
Yes, it does. It does. And despite the situation in which we are now economically, still a royal family to me is an encouragement. And having said that, I want to mention something here. The actual government is promoting musical and cultural, and they are money for it, to support it. Why the bell ringers are not including that? Because this tradition is going to die.
Okay.
And if the government does something about it from the schools, the bell ringing will be survived.
Okay, I think a plea for bell ringing, I think that was, both literal and perhaps metaphorical. Right, that's it. Let's move on. You're going to eat something today, aren't you? And if you are you going to be eating any red meat? Ham, beef, lamb, pork, bacon? We'll be talking about that in a second. Before that, though, we'll also be speaking to this man.
Enjoy yourself. Later than you think.
That's the DJ who is bringing joy and some banging tunes, apparently, to care homes. DJ AG, a.k.a. Ashley Gordon, who hosts raves. Well, they're not really raves, but they kind of are, in retirement villages, and is proving quite the hit. We will discuss that. But first, one stingy burger a week, apparently, is the recipe to help nature thrive while rearing livestock helps biodiversity. Its impact on the climate means we should cut our red meat intake by 90%, researchers say, in the next hour. We'll be asking, what's on your Christmas dinner plate? Is it red meat? And how much red meat do you eat every single week? Happy Christmas.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock. Weather warnings for cold and windy weather are set to come into force this Christmas Day. The UK Health Security Agency has issued a cold health alert from 6 o'clock this evening for the southwest of England. The Met Office has a yellow warning for wind for much of the southwest and Wales. LBC has been speaking to forecaster Jonathan Vautry.
The strength of that wind as well, it is really going to be quite brisk, and it is going to be certainly very gusty around coasts and hills at times, and that will actually make it feel particularly bitter when you're stepping outside. Feels like temperatures across central southern areas of England and Wales are going to be around freezing, if not sub-freezing, so you certainly will want to be wrapping up warm when you step out.
The royal family will be celebrating this Christmas Day together at Sandringham. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor won't be there following the controversy over his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew's always denied any wrongdoing. The King's speech is coming from Westminster Abbey later, the second time Charles has done a festive message as King outside of a royal residence, and we'll bring you the full address at 3 o'clock here on LBC. Wes Streeting has told LBC he will still be the Health Secretary next Christmas and not the Prime Minister. He's previously denied claims he wants to remove Sir Keir Starmer from Downing Street. And speaking to Nick Ferrari at Christmas, Mr. Streeting has promised there is progress being made in the health service.
I tell you the thing where I was like properly punching the air was when we delivered the 2 million more appointments we promised in our first year early. And then by the time we got to the first anniversary, we'd actually delivered 5 million more. To be able to say to people, we promised and we've delivered, is a nice feeling.
And you can listen to the full interview on Nick Ferrari at Christmas from 1 o'clock. Pope Leo will arrive at the Basilica this morning for the traditional Christmas Day blessing. Thousands of people attended his first Christmas Eve Mass last night, where he led prayers for peace. And thousands of swimmers are expected to brave the icy waters as part of the traditional festive swims across the UK. Some have been cancelled in the southwest this morning, though, because of those cold weather and wind alerts. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds, with a high of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm David Dom.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Been watching swimmers live coverage of all those swimmers diving into Hyde Park, into the Serpentine in Hyde Park. Oh my God, so cold in London. I'm amazed it's not snowing, actually. It's that cold. Due to the icy winds around the country, I think it's the southwest off the coast of Wales, a lot of those swims that people do every Christmas Day have been postponed, and they're hardy souls, so it must be really, really bad. The weather, a little bit of a white Christmas, but hardly anywhere, to be honest. California, by the way. Have you seen the floods in California today? Go online and have a look at that. And if you're interested, and I keep mentioning it, it's the official NORAD tracking system for Santa. He's way over the Pacific at the moment, and he's already delivered almost 8 billion gifts. So he's had a very, very busy night. Show it to the kids. Honestly, they'd be fascinated by it. Mine were. It's 5 minutes past 9 o'clock. Ian Payne with you for the next 55 minutes. And I would like to talk to you about what you're going to eat, because it's being suggested that, well, more than suggested, that giving up meat and actually eating one so-called stingy burger a week will be good for you and good for the planet. The amount of red meat that people should eat if they want to benefit biodiversity in this country alone is, according to the University of Edinburgh study, one, inverted commas, stingy, so pretty mean, burger a week. Why? Cows and sheep are a major source of the powerful greenhouse gas methane, don't ask. And soy, imported to feed livestock, is a driver of rainforest destruction. Meat production is also linked to water and air pollution, especially when manure washes off into rivers. If you want to have a scientific or medical discussion, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but you can put forward your theories if you want. Don't expect me to back them up. Why is eating red meat bad for you? Well, we know that eating, well, too much of anything isn't good for you. But red meat, and I'm talking about your traditional red meats, in that pork is red meat, so anything derivative of a pig, bacon, ham, probably be having ham at some point today. Beef, obviously, lamb, pork. If you'd like to tell us any other red meats that perhaps you might eat, salami, you know, there's so many of them. And how much of that type of ingredient do you eat every single week? Just one burger a week. It does seem a bit stingy, I have to say. But if that's what they're saying, who's saying this? So this is a study by the Alfie Galthorne Hardy group at the University of Edinburgh. This is so Alfie Galthorne Hardy is the lead scientist on this. He said, the normal way we look at meat production is saying how much can we afford within our environmental limits. And what we've been realising is some meat has a really clear positive role to play, which is why we're trying to change the narrative from how much can we afford to how much do we actually need. Rearing cows and sheep can help wildlife directly, he said. Gave a few examples. Large blue butterflies rely on livestock grazing grasslands.
He and his colleagues calculated that the dung from a single 700-kilo cow can produce enough insects to feed approximately 30 swallows. The team used infrared cameras and acoustic monitors to observe bats feeding at night over fields of cows. The presence of cow dung alone increased bat activity by 4 times compared with a field with no cows. The presence of the cows increased bat activity by 12 times. So livestock can also indirectly aid wildlife from the creation of hay meadows to ponds and hedgerows. They have estimated that the ideal number of cows and sheep to boost biodiversity but not contribute too much to climate change and pollution. Just 4 million hectares of land for grazing livestock, down from 13 million hectares today, which would, they equate, to 90% cut in our meat consumption. Now, you can argue as to whether they've got a point and whether you believe about biodiversity, but the fact is we grow a lot of stuff for food for our animals so that we can slaughter the animals and eat their meat. And their argument is, if you do away with that, just eat less meat, we will require less land, and we will require less land to feed them as well. The number of cattle reared for beef is already on a long-term decline. If you've tried to buy beef recently, or if you're a farmer selling your cow for meat, you'll realise how the prices have changed, falling further this year, down 4.3% to 569,000 in England. However, the idea of such a radical shift is unlikely to land well with the farmers. The National Farmers Union, who just had some good news this week, has previously pushed back against advice by the government's advisers, the Climate Change Committee, to shift to more plant-based diets. Debates over how to use the nation's land, from food and nature to homes and energy, are likely to intensify next year as the government prepares to finalise its, quote, land use framework. This research has not yet been published in a journal, but was presented at the annual meeting of the British Ecological Society this month. So I could go into it. But are you planning to have sausages, pigs in blankets, bit of ham with your turkey today? Or maybe you're having a full red meat meal. Do you consider the implications of such, and not just implications for your own gut, but also because of the biodiversity it may or may not feed? Okay, the earlier you ring, the more chance you have of getting through. Maybe you're a vegetarian, maybe you're a vegan, maybe you feel... The majority of people I know who are vegans or vegetarians are, they're very fit, are very healthy, but they're quite sort of worthy. Can I use that word? They're quite kind of proud of it, and make sure that you know about it. But maybe I'm being unfair. Listen, most scientists and most doctors will tell you, you know, as long as you don't eat something every single day, as long as you're doing it in moderation. So maybe, I don't know, what are we saying here? One burger a week. I think that's a little bit stingy, don't you? I don't know what if you're a doctor, you're a nutritionist, you are a professional athlete, even a personal trainer, what's the correct amount of red meat? Like, you're around some, aren't you? 0345 6060973. How long have you gone without meat for? Here's Les, who says, Ian, I haven't eaten meat for 50 years. What all the moaners and selfish people will whine about is just pure selfishness and indifference. Watch the video of the Smiths song Meat is Murder, where a film of the inside of a slaughterhouse is shown. I've been to a slaughterhouse. I know what happens in it. And yeah, I would rather I hadn't seen that, to be honest. But it hasn't stopped me eating meat. I've cut down on meat, though. What am I now? Am I early 60s? I wouldn't eat more than 2 red meat meals a week, 3 at the most. But that would probably be an exception rather than the rule. Yes, I just sort of think about it in just sitting there and taking ages to digest, I think. Does that mean that mince would be as powerful as having a steak? I don't think so, but I don't really have steaks anymore. I tend to go for fish, for salmon, or for sort of kippers or something like that. I want to know whether or not, what do you think is the amount of red meat that's okay for a meat eater? I'm not proposing everyone goes vegetarian or indeed vegan, but I know there'll be a lot of people who think like that. It's Robbie says, see the inside of a slaughterhouse. See how awful the animals die. Well,
Again, I don't want to go into too detail now, but from my experience, the beasts, the cows, they die quite quickly, but they do sense there's something coming, you know, they do. And the sheep definitely feel that there's something coming. He said, people should grow up and get a decent life for themselves. So there's a few spots available now if you want to come on and give us your version of what is the optimum amount of red meat you should eat in a week. 03456060973 is the number to ring. It's the same number if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. 03456060973. Junior says, I am fed up with all these vegans and vegetarians telling me what I can eat. If that's the life they choose, then fine, but don't ram your opinions down my gullet, or indeed red meat. Sit in the corner and talk amongst your like-minded friends, drinking your tap water. Oh, hang on, you can't have tap water. You're destroying the homes of all the fishes and the other waterborne creatures. Or don't they can't? Rant over. Birdie's in Truro. Good morning. Happy Christmas.
Hello, good morning. Merry Christmas.
It says here you eat nothing but meat.
Yes, I'm a carnivore. I switched to carnivore about 18 months ago, and I'm 76 years old. I did a lot of research into it because I suffered heavily from arthritis, a whole list of things at my age. And
is your husband Jack Spratt? Why?
No. And my ailments have practically all gone. Ooh. And I feel amazing. My brain fog is gone. My arthritis is almost gone. My tinnitus, my neuropathy, all the nasty things that you can get when you get old, they're practically gone.
Really?
Amazing. Yes, I do. Because it is our natural food. I know there's so many people in the world now, it's got to be produced in a different way.
Yeah.
I know, I realise that. I can't keep cows in my backyard and look after them humanely. So don't be having a go at us through the meat. Be having a go at the people that don't...
I'm fascinated. Yeah. I'm fascinated by this. I'm going to delay the break, actually, because I really want to hear what you've got to say. How often do you eat red meat?
Every day.
In what form?
Juice, beef, I eat eggs and bacon. I eat eggs, bacon, cheese, cream and meat and fish.
And would you have red meat at more than one meal a day?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And you're going to say, well, isn't that expensive? No, it isn't expensive because you're not buying all the other junk. You're not buying crisps and bread and sweets and cakes and biscuits. You don't buy that stuff. And after you've gone on to this way of eating for a few days, and it only takes a few days, you get rid of all that longing for the sweet stuff. You don't want the sweet stuff. You feel happy and you feel satisfied. You don't want that.
What are you having for Christmas dinner today?
I'm having turkey.
Yeah.
I'm having bacon.
Yeah.
I might have a little bit of veg because on this I don't eat veg and people throw their hands up in horror. You know, you don't eat veg, you don't eat fruit. How do you know, what result does that have?
No, you know, you're right. There's a definite sort of, forgive me, Birdie, I've just got to get to a break, but there is a narrative that suggests today that you have to eat loads more fruit, loads more vegetables, cut out the red meat, pulses, you know, all that kind of stuff. Who's to say whether that works for everyone, you know? I'm not a doctor, I've said that many times, I'm not a nutritionist, but I'm fascinated to hear from people like Birdie, whose own experiences eating red meat almost every day has made her healthier. Discuss. It's just after 9:15.
This is LBC.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling.
banningdental.co.uk.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the media business. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Atina, a media business student in year 12.
Being a young creative at Global Academy means that I get to turn my passion into a career. From studying creative enterprise, I've already learnt how to market my own business and gain knowledge about the business side of the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
We weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at two. We said three. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Excuse me, just finish off a delicious Mr. Kipling cake, which was sent to me by a listener during the week. Thank you to all of you who send us stuff, by the way. It is amazing. I don't have to buy any food. We're talking about red meat and a study suggesting that we should really limit ourselves to one, what they call, stingy burger a week. Not only because it will help our gut, but also it will help save the planet because of methane production, the amount of the area of land we need, and deforestation to grow the crops that are used for feeding the animals, and so the whole cycle is repeated. I think one burger a week is a bit over the top, but I don't think that there is a set rule. I'd love to hear from anybody with a bit of scientific or medical or nutritionist knowledge who could give us a little bit, because I think we're all confused. Every day we hear chocolate is good for you, chocolate is bad for you, coffee is good for you, coffee is bad for you, red wine is good for you, red wine is bad for you. You know, it's just so confusing. None of it. So it's moderation in all things. Our last caller, though, saying she eats red meat every day and it's cured all her ailments. Sandra is in Leighton Buzzard. What do you think, Sandra? Happy Christmas.
Oh, happy Christmas to all the Grinches, honestly. I'm actually really frustrated. I'm not a nutritionist, but, you know, I try to eat healthily. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with having a couple of portions of good lean beef. You know, like perhaps a very lean steak or a very lean...
A minute steak or a minute steak, as my son used to call it in a French restaurant.
Oh, really? Yeah, like that sort. And also, you know, turkey, chicken, you know, as long as it's good quality. Fish, I mean, I eat a lot of fish. I have meat or fish every single day, mm-hmm. and not massive portions. And I think
is it red meat,
healthy.
Sandra?
Pardon?
If it's game or poultry, apparently that's okay. If it's red meat, if it's beef, if it's lamb, if it's pork, if it's bacon, if it's ham, no good.
Well, beef, lean beef is good for you. It's got loads of complex proteins that your body needs to remain strong. So, you know, I think that's just rubbish. I agree with all the sort of the processed meats, red meats, mm-hmm. yeah, but they are rubbish. And the other thing I'd like to say is, you know, they're all sort of pushing for this, you know, plant-based diet. That's fine. But what happens when we have floods and we can't grow, or we have droughts and stuff isn't growing? My potatoes just failed this winter because of all the rain. Mm. So, you know, what are we going to eat? We'd have to then perhaps import stuff, which isn't good for the planet, is it? So, you know,
What about this kind of ecological argument that says we're in a ridiculous cycle, deforesting parts of the world to grow food that will feed our animals so that we can eat them, and they create more methane and hurt the planet? I mean, it's like, can you see the argument?
Well, we're not over here deforesting, are we? And that's why I'm saying, if we supported our British farmers a little bit more, we could probably grow and rear most of our food. So, you know, that's another thing they should be thinking of, not importing it from places, you know, like Brazil, maybe, where they are deforesting. And that's just disgusting. Of course, you've got to protect the nature and wildlife and the countryside. Absolutely.
What will you be eating today, Sandra?
I've got a turkey crown today. Yeah, so that's going to go.
Is it already in?
No, my sons are doing it, actually. So, yeah, I know. They
send him round, will you?
My two sons, they both do it, and their partners, yeah.
Really?
Well, my husband died a couple of years ago, and all three of them used to always do the Christmas dinner. I got it in. So I used to just sit there. It was lovely.
Really? What did you do? Just drink?
Yeah. It was great.
Superb. Well, if they're spare next year, send them round, will you, to my gaff?
I will, yeah.
That'd be brilliant. Have a lovely day. Give them all a big hug from us if they're not too old for it. Thank you.
Okay, thank
Here's
you.
Anita in Aldershot. What are you eating today? Is it red?
Well, actually, I'm going to my niece's shortly in Cheltenham, and I'm actually saying, please, I hope there's not a bird sitting on the table, because I honestly think I couldn't cope with that.
You couldn't cope with a big bird?
A big turkey sitting on the table, the very thought of it, it really turns my stomach. I will definitely not be eating turkey. I just don't like
it. What would you prefer, a pig's head?
Oh, please don't eat. That's awful.
With an apple in it?
Oh, please, honestly, the idea of that makes
me sick. A medieval feast.
I'm not a vegetarian by any stretch.
You sound it.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I eat a lot of salmon, and I'll eat a lot of avocados, I'll eat a lot of veg and blueberries and fruits and things. Not too many fruits.
Well, hold on a minute. Would you eat a salmon if you saw the fish as a fish?
No, well, you see, I was just going to say that. If I actually see it in its human form, no, it would put me off. I'm just a bit weird.
Would you think it was looking at you? That's what my friend, the vegetarian, said. He said, that fish is definitely looking at me.
You make me feel sick. No, I really. If I saw the face, no, I couldn't eat it. I really couldn't eat it. I'm a bit weird in that respect. But as I said, you know, I'm quite elderly and I'm really fit. Touch wood at the moment, I am. But I do not. I eat very, very little meat. If I eat chicken, but it's mostly salmon that I eat.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm a salmon person. I have to say, they ran out of the chili flavoured salmon. There was almost a riot in my Sainsbury's the other day. What do you think of this argument, not necessarily eating too much red meat because it makes you ill and God knows what it can give you, but to help save the planet? Is there an argument there?
Well, I really don't think about that. Maybe I should think more about that. So I really don't have a great opinion about it. I couldn't really put an argument about that. It doesn't really cross my mind.
What did you have for? I think I detect a Scottish lilt there, June. Yes. What did you eat when you were young in Scotland, growing up, and you with your family at Christmas?
Well, it wouldn't be turkey, it'd be chicken.
Chicken.
And I did eat chicken, yeah. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, and we ate healthy. We used to have homemade soup. Everything was homemade, whatever we had. It was all homemade, unlike what things are nowadays. I did eat chicken. I did eat meat. I did eat meat years ago. I used to eat steak as well. I couldn't eat steak at all.
I get so confused. So you've been a vegetarian for 40 years, yeah?
I am not a vegetarian.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not.
Oh, it says here you are. Pardon me. Yeah?
No, I eat wee bits of meat. I don't eat a lot of meat. Very, very little meat. I mean, I mainly have salmon.
I apologise, Anita, because I've looked at the wrong phone line that's ready to talk to me. So this is June in Harlow, who is a vegetarian, and you've been so for how many years?
For 40 years.
40 years. Aren't you missing out, June?
Yeah, no, I don't push it on anyone else or anything at all, because my sons are coming. One of my sons is coming tomorrow. I cook him meat and his family. It's just I chose to do it. Years ago, my sons were in a punk rock group, and and the people they toured with, well, they were all vegetarians and that. And I thought I'd try it, but I did, and, you know, I'm quite all right with it. I love it.
Okay, and what made the decision final to give up meat then, 40 years ago?
Well, that did, because they all went like that, but now they've all gone back to meat, but I never have, because I feel okay on it, you know. I do a manual job and I'm out in the yard and all things in all weathers and that, but I feel fine on it.
Do you?
And I enjoy it. you know, I don't push it on anyone. I don't want anyone to sort of think, oh, you know, I'm one of them that sort of preaches about vegetarians and all that.
So is it, because I get slightly confused by all the different terms. It used to be simple, now it's not. So are you allowed eggs?
I only, I don't like battery eggs. No, I go and look for, like, free range eggs. I'm a humane in
that
way.
You go out for dinner, if you went out for a meal, how many questions would you have for the waiter?
Oh, no, none. I just, if it's got V on the menu, vegetarian, I just take it that it is vegetarian.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Yeah. Thank you, June. That's June in Harlow. She's 77. She's been a vegetarian for 40-odd years. Rob is one of our regulars during the week in the early hours from Arbroath. Are you a red meat eater, Rob?
Good morning.
Happy Christmas.
And a big happy Christmas. Yes, I am. I'm a huge red meat eater. I actually eat, I've been eating large steaks for years. I normally have a steak size of 36 ounces.
Is it Angus?
It is Angus beef. It is Angus beef. We're very lucky up here in Scotland. And I live in Angus, which helps. Mm. And we have the most wonderful, wonderful beef up here. And normally after a game of golf now, I'm very lucky at Canoe Stee to be able to play. Mm. I play about two or three times a week with my wife.
Oh.
And afterwards, as much as I can, I'll go into a wonderful restaurant there. And I'll have a 36-ounce, it's a lovely tomahawk steak.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and it's just, it is a sharing steak. Normally I have it on my own, but if someone else would live with me, I'll reluctantly share it with them.
How many days a week do you eat red meat?
I eat red meat at least five times a week. And I can honestly say, as soon as I've had something like a huge steak, I feel so much better because I use a lot of energy playing golf.
Yeah.
As you know, it's a...
You sound like a contestant on Man versus Food.
I don't know, but...
Don't you? It's basically, can you take on the biggest breakfast in the whole of Missouri, you know, and the guy does it?
Ian, if I used to say that, because I have so many certificates of breakfast that I've managed to eat in my life. And I see them, they almost look dejected when I go in.
Check out YouTube. Just put in Man versus Food and you'll feel very at home. Happy Christmas to you all. Thank you so much to you and your wife for being such regular and loyal listeners. So, new research suggesting that one stingy burger a week should be all the red meat that you need. Is that correct? Or do you think that's a little bit abstemious? 03456060, that's a good word, isn't it? 03456060973. It's 9:30. The news headlines are read by David Dom.
The royal family are spending Christmas Day at Sandringham. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor won't be there following the controversy over his relationship with billionaire sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The former prince has always denied any wrongdoing. The King's Speech is coming from Westminster Abbey later. Warnings for wind and cold weather will come into effect later this Christmas Day. They cover the southwest of England and Wales. Officials are warning of a potential impact to the health service. And thousands of people attended Pope Leo's first Christmas Eve Mass. He's been leading prayers for peace. He'll return to the Basilica later for the traditional Christmas Day blessing. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas Day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with a high of 7 degrees.
This is LBC.
This is my car.
Well, I saw it first.
I sat in it first.
You horrible man.
Ow!
At Harwoods, we think January sales should be civilised. That's why there's money off every new and approved used car until the 11th of January. Simply stroll to Harwoods Jaguar and Land Rover Crawley and Brighton, Harwoods Volvo Crawley or Harwoods Audi Five Oaks and Crawley. Details at harwoods.co.uk. The civilised January sale at Harwoods.
It might be cold outside, but things are really warming up at the Wren Winter Sale, with red-hot prices on our high-quality, fully-built kitchens and fitted bedrooms. From Boxing Day, there's up to 60% off fully-built kitchens and all bedroom units, plus up to 7 years interest-free credit. Made for making you feel warm inside, whatever the weather. Wren. Made for living. Visit your nearest Wren showroom. Offers apply when you buy 5 or more kitchen units or 3 or more bedroom units. Finance subject to status and minimum spend.
Now, let me ask y'all a question. Are you ready to ditch the crowds and the cookie-cutter holidays? I'm talking quiet mornings spent by crystal-clear lakes, cruising across the vast landscapes of Canada and the U.S. at a leisurely pace, stopping at charming towns and saying howdy. Go deeper with littleamerica.co.uk.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quarter Pillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears. And 4 giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go-Karts, Trampolines, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park. Book now at nutcatch.com.
This is LBC. Message Ian Payne on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
A new study is suggesting, Merry Christmas, by the way, a new study is suggesting that we should limit ourselves to one, quote, stingy burger a week if we're going to eat red meat. For two reasons. One, it's good for your health. And also it helps the planet because you need less livestock to feed everybody. There's less, therefore, methane, which is bad for the planet. And we won't have to tear down trees and grow food for the beast that we're going to eat. The opposite of vegetarianism, says Annie, is my friend in Tipperary. She raised a pig this year, treated him like a pet, then had him slaughtered 2 days ago, and they're eating him for Christmas today. I don't think I could do that, to be honest. Not if I could, you know, certainly not as a pet, to be honest. And someone else got in touch, and I was talking about man versus food. The latest one is even better, according to Steve. It's called Beard Meets Food. So this is obviously a man with a beard who eats an enormous amount of food at a restaurant to break records, I guess. How much red meat should we eat? Let's speak to Lizzie in Croydon. It says vegan alert here. What's that mean? You're pro or anti?
I'm vegan, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, don't sound so sad.
No, I'm not sad at all. Do you tell people you're vegan or do you keep it quiet?
Yeah, every day, all day.
You tell everyone all day, every day?
Well, we eat 3 times a day, so it comes into the conversation. It's not like I'm out there deliberately doing it. But obviously, there's a reason why you tell someone that you're vegan. You're hoping that they're going to at least think about the cruelty involved in the animals. But if I may lead the conversation down the direction of what some of your people that have called in have already said, because basically everybody is sort of subject to their emotions, their feelings, what they've read on Facebook, what their families say, what they want to do themselves, and it's all kind of misinformation and hearsay and not facts. So the first lady, she gave a list of ailments that suddenly and miraculously were cured because she was eating meat.
Yeah.
But was that because she wasn't eating meat for the first however decades of her life and suddenly ate it and miraculously got better? I don't think
it could have been, actually, as some people have pointed, it could have been that if she's eating that much meat, she's not eating so much processed food, and that might be good for her. It's a more healthy diet.
Yes, valid, but she definitely wasn't getting her 30 grams of fibre a day, so that's an absolute red flag for bowel cancer. So if you really look it up, it's not good to eat that much meat, whether it's the proper steak rather than the processed. It's just that people tweak stuff to justify what they're doing, and I'm not against her, but I'm just saying that is not a valid data, you know.
Have you been a vegan all your life?
No, 10 years.
Can you remember the day when you made the decision?
Well, I stopped eating meat on the day one of my granddaughters was born, and that was like 17 years ago, and then I was veggie for 7 years, and then I realised that cows, all the stuff that happens to dairy and in the egg industry, so I literally, on the spot, went vegan.
So this was a conscientious objection rather than a dietary one?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I've got more stuff to say to you.
Go on.
one stingy burger a week. That would be equivalent to you being 5% racist or 5% against women or 5% for FGM. That's just like, it, that one stingy burger comes from an animal that died. It's a real flippant...
It's a difficult one, though, isn't it? I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, would you spray a fly?
I literally, before I have a bath, I check the bath. If there happens to be a little gnat or something that gets caught in the water, I get the tissue, pick him out, and keep
bacteria
him on my
bacteria in
fingers,
the water. So you know, I mean, how far do you want to go?
Oh, still clean your bath without killing things.
So you have no
bacteria, killing
you have
bacteria.
No cleaning products that
bacteria.
Would kill bacteria. So
no,
bacteria, that's all right. I'm being facetious, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I was just going to say cheeky. Yeah. But anyway, one other thing. The lady said that, oh, if we it comes to it and the world will, you know, climate change and we have floods and stuff, we're going to need the animals. They grow on the same land that the crops grow on. So it's just this ridiculous mentality people have because they've been greenwashed, they've been culturally and traditionally, you know, brought up like that. And it's 2025.
Do you not think there's a tiny little bit of meat is good for you?
No, because a tiny little bit of racism isn't good for anybody and a tiny little bit of misogyny isn't good for anybody. It's bad for the animals. That animal didn't ask to be bred and the cruelty starts from the day they're born.
But what would you say to, I mean, this is a ridiculous question, but what would you say to a lion whose whole diet is just meat?
That's whataboutery. Oh. The lion can't go to Asda. The lion has the canines. The lady earlier that said she's a carnivore, she's not. She's an omnivore. I mean, that's what I'm saying, all these facts and stuff. It's not even frustrating because I'm used to it, but it's just like, everybody, please get your facts.
Are your whole family vegan?
No, not at all.
What's the convo like about that?
We don't have one because I'm fine with it. But the minute I, you know, they'll cook me a vegan meal, but then there's the bad vibe behind it. Like, oh, I had to do that for mum. But it's absolutely fine because the world is changing. And because they're mothers, my girls, they've had babies and they've breastfed, they won't eat dairy. So it's all about personal experience. They can connect with a dairy cow because they've been there themselves. But, you know...
Fair enough. Lizzie, I'm not going to argue anymore. I'm just going to wish you a very happy Christmas.
And you, my dear.
What are you having for Christmas dinner, did you say?
You know, I haven't even planned it. I think I've got a yam curry that I stuck in the freezer that I got out last night. I might have that.
A yam curry. Enjoy. Thank you very much indeed. We're not here to judge. We're just here to listen. John is in Rye. Hello, John. Happy Christmas.
Morning. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you
Christmas.
Too, yeah.
You haven't eaten meat for a while, have you?
12 years, I think, something like that. 12 years, yeah, about 10 or 12 years, yeah.
How do you feel? Are you missing out?
I kind of miss sausages a bit.
a bit. You either...
And a bit of bacon, I kind of miss it a bit. But
yeah, who wouldn't?
I had this moment where I saw this sort of factory farming of chickens, you know, on one of those posts online and just thought... You know, I can't eat any more chicken. And then it started off with chicken. And then I thought, actually, why should I eat any meat? So I thought I'd stop eating meat.
So again, it's a conscientious objection rather than a dietary one.
Well, it's had a really positive effect on my body, not eating meat.
Okay. In what sense? Go on, tell me.
Well, I just feel, and people tell me, look, you know, better for not eating meat.
Okay, how do you feel when you look in the mirror? Do you Google?
Yeah,
think,
no, I'm good. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. I'm very happy about the fact that I just feel better for it. But one of the sort of criteria was the fact that I think that it's this thing about having a friendship with an animal. So if I was like farmer or even to somebody living in the country and I saw lots of cows, you know, you can call a cow across, Daisy the cow, you know, and the cow will come and see you and you're like your pet the cow.
You can call a cow across.
Well, you know, that kind of relationship, that kind of relationship where you can have a kind of friendship with an animal, you know, whether you're stroking it or whatever.
Right.
But that for me is like, why would you want to kill the animal that you're having some kind of, you know, interaction with?
Any other friendship with a pig?
I think you can, yeah. I don't have it with fish. I eat fish.
Well, they're slippery, aren't they?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, I don't think I could have a relationship with a pig, with a fish, but I feel like I could with a cow.
All right.
And surreal. Yeah, but with a fish, you know, they don't get
Will
to know you.
Will you be eating a friend
animals
today?
I won't be eating a friend, no, but I'll be having probably some fish, yeah.
Fish. All right, fair enough, because you can't. So odd. Thank you, John. And by the way, everyone loves your voice. Deep voices swoon, apparently. Humans are not carnivores, says John. So we are naturally omnivores. Oh, we're going to get into the teeth argument now, aren't we? But then others will say, well, that's evolution. I have high cholesterol, so red meat is to be avoided for me, says John. I'm happy to reduce meat consumption to once or twice a week. Ian says, Alf. Don't get called, many people called Alf anymore, do you? Alf, or Alfred in Halifax, says, Ian, if we're talking about what is bad for the planet, how about we start with saying 8 billion plus human beings being bad for the planet? We would then need less land ourselves, less distortion of the natural spaces, and less greenhouse gases produced by us. Phil, my old friend in Cumbria, or happy Christmas. What are you up to?
Oh, I'm just going to go and see, go and have lunch with my wife in the care home today.
All right, yes, give her our love.
But I'm just listening to some of these people. I called. They're like. Well, I rang up to shout for offal. I'm an offal eater.
You're shouting for offal, okay, go ahead.
I'm an offal eater. When I was a kid, my mum used to do me liver and onions and kidneys, and I used to eat tripe. I used to eat what was put down in front of me, and I've had a lifelong love of the stuff.
What is tripe?
It's the lining of the cow's stomach that's been bleached. Well, you got a problem with that?
Yeah, yeah. That's not nice.
You want to come up north, mate?
No, I lived up north for a long... No, I lived up north. I don't know, bacon and liver and kidney and, yeah, but offal. Sorry, but tripe.
Cow eel, mate, you've never lived.
Cow eel, Not so sure about that. What about, how much red meat should we all eat every week, do you reckon, Phil?
As much as you can sensibly afford. Depends on the price of the red meat, doesn't it?
I suppose so. Would you call tripe red meat?
No, I wouldn't call tripe red meat. No. But it's not vegetarian either. I can't. All these vegetarians that preach it, mate, are they? I don't know.
Thank you, Phil. Happy Christmas. I don't think they're preaching so much, but you know, if you ask them and you want to get into an argument, you'll get one. Let's have a look here. I'm fed up with all. I've read that one out actually. This is from Scott, who says, I've come across my fair share of vegans and vegetarians, and like all forms of humans and human beings, there are some who are nice and others not so much. The smug, self-righteous preaching to you, lecturing in such a patronising way, people. I've even met some vegans who think their lifestyles would lead them towards the possibility of becoming immortal. I don't think I've ever met someone like that. You're listening to Christmas Breakfast with myself, Ian Payne, here on LBC. In the last quarter of the programme...
My name is Bishop Stephen Lowe, and I'm looking forward to giving some Christmas Day reflections with Ian Payne on LBC this morning.
We will be joined by a friend of LBC, the former Bishop of Hume, Stephen Lowe. It's quarter to ten.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, Ian Dale.
Christmas morning is one of the most special times of the year, and it's an honour to spend it with you. 3 hours of open house calls. Tell me about your Christmas and what you're up to. I'd love to know, because I'm a bit nosy like that.
Ian Dale at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at two. We said three. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
40 million people listen to commercial radio each week. That's 80 million ears, give or take. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes before Ian Dale takes over at 10 o'clock. I'm Ian Payne. We're talking about eating red meat. A new study suggests one, in their words, stingy burger a week will not only help you and your health, but will help the planet in terms of the amount of food we need to feed the creatures that we eat, the deforestation, and let's not beat around the bush, the methane that they produce. All right, let's speak to Tony. He's in Sussex. Hello, Tony. Happy Christmas.
And the same to you, Ian. Just before I start, did you see my earlier text about the parking?
About whether I could park on a yellow line or not?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I've done it, and I'll find out whether my car's been towed away, but I think I'll be okay. But thanks for your attention and care.
Yeah, what it is, you can park on a single yellow line on a bank holiday,
yeah,
unless it's every day.
Yeah, I checked on the sign. It looked okay, but like I said,
yeah.
I will be able to prove that pudding tomorrow.
I doubt if there's anyone working today anyway.
Nah. What would you like to say about eating red meat?
Oh, yeah. Yes, anyway. This Climate Change Committee, you've got to justify what the probable millions of pounds they've spent telling us things that we already know. Over Christmas, we're having gammon, turkey and beef. Last night, we had gammon, egg and chips. Today, we're having turkey and beef. And then tomorrow, we'll have all the cold meats with bubble and squeak, which we will thoroughly enjoy.
Bubble and squeak is like potato and cabbage, isn't it?
Yeah, all fried up. Yes,
all fried up.
Together.
Yeah, right.
All the vegetables, basically.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts and, you know, everything, all the leftovers, basically, we fry up together and that bubble and squeak.
Very good.
And my son is also going to cook it, and I should be going down the pub for an hour. I did prepare all the vegetables last night.
Yeah.
So they're all done for him, ready to cook.
Oh, very good.
And you've got family coming over, and they will, we've got even more coming over Boxing Day. I actually prefer Boxing Day, all the cold meat. And
so what age are you now, Tony?
Sorry?
What age are you now?
I'm 67.
Okay. You say that you eat quite a lot of red meat, but you're definitely not going to change at your age. Isn't your age just the right time to change?
No, we've been setting our ways
well,
now.
I
like sausages I like my sausages, I like my pork pies and steaks. I'm sort of setting my ways now. The vegan lady you spoke to, I mean, comparing the burger being 5% to being 5% racist and 5% this and 5% that, and if we're going to change the planet, are we going to take all the cars off the road, all the planes out the sky?
Well, they're trying. They're trying. I've got to go. Happy Christmas, my friend. Thank you very much for all your listening and all your support. Let's go up to the northeast and speak to Chandra in Newcastle. Happy Christmas. How much red meat do you eat?
A very Merry Christmas, Ian. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I don't eat red meat. I'm not, stop any of the listeners panicking. I'm not going to preach. I'm not a preacher. For generations, my family have been vegetarian. I come from a community where we are expected to observe a vegetarian diet. And it works for me, and I've remained a vegetarian. My point is that today there'll be a few million turkeys sent to heaven, and they've not asked to be sent to heaven today, but we have made the decision on their behalf. Now, in the broader sense, in the name of doing what's good for human beings, we just take and take and take from this planet. And whether it's using natural resources for our transport or just to feed our own, feed our frenzy, really. So I just want us to think about what we do to this planet. And as one species, we have the most, we consume most from this planet than probably the rest of the species put together. I just want us to ponder on our sense of entitlement, and whether we really are good residents of this planet is the only point I would like us to think about very carefully.
Are we?
I don't think we are. I think we are selfish. I think we just take and take and take, and we hardly give anything back to this planet. And we have the sense of we think we can get away with it, and we do get away with it, unless we are confronted by big cats. Unless the big cats start invading big urban areas, we really have a monopoly on this planet, and I think we need to think about this, because if the same number of human beings that that we do to turkeys today die, we call that a genocide. I mean, it's one thing saying eating meat occasionally to keep to have all the nutrients and sort of minerals in our system, and it's something else saying, Let's eat anything we want, and we don't care what anybody thinks.
Well, it's good. I mean, pardon the pun. It's good food for thought, to be honest. On Christmas Day, when we're all tucking into our dinners, whatever time of day it is, will you be consuming what the king has to say later on? The numbers are dwindling, but it's still an important part, traditional part of Christmas Day. So I thought, before we end the programme, we thought we'd finish off with a festive message. Joining us to share his festive message is Bishop Stephen Lowe. He's the former Bishop of Hume. What's your message, Stephen? Good morning. Happy Christmas.
Good morning, Ian. Happy Christmas to you too. I am reflecting on now over 80 Christmases in which I have shared, because that is my age in a sense. Well, it's in reality. And I have to say that as I reflect back on those 80 Christmases, I can't remember one which has felt so, how can I put it, in a state of crisis. There is so much pain in our world, the state of Gaza, Sudan, Myanmar, Cambodia, Thailand, Ukraine, and we've just been listening to about the state of our planet. We are, in a sense, involved in a world which I no longer want to see much more of. And I don't know about you, but I find it difficult now to watch the news and switch it off sometimes, because it's almost too painful to watch it. And that is the context of Christmas 2025, which I find so difficult. And yet this is a time when we are celebrating the birthday of a man of peace, a man who brought compassion, who sought justice, and cared for the poor, the sick, the refugee, the stranger. I've heard that half the population was intending to go to Christmas service this year, which is a massive increase on previous years. It's quite dramatic, really. And that's quite exciting at one level for people like me. But I do wish that somehow in the midst of it all, we could look for something that is simple, beautiful, that speaks of that peace and kindness that we actually find in the life of Jesus. particularly after the brashness of the advertising and the noise of the commercial Christmas and, indeed, all the food that we're about to eat. Perhaps everyone who is preparing to enjoy Christmas 2025 should find a few moments to be quiet, to reflect on what this day really brings for us all, and offer a prayer of peace. It's interesting that so much of the conflict in the world at the moment is in the name of religions and between religions, and yet all the major world religions speak and propound peace to be at the heart of their message. Perhaps we need to recover that. The peace of the family of Jesus, the peace of the shepherds, the peace that the travelling astrologers found when they found the Christ child. I hope that you, Ian, and those listening have a Merry Christmas, but please don't lose the heart of the Christmas story. It is the gift of the Prince of Peace.
I'm going to leave it like that, Bishop. Well said. Bishop Stephen Lowe, the former Bishop of Hume, with that words from the church, and whether or not you think the church still has a place to play in your life, I think it does for most people, for a lot of people, and still remains so. So I'm not going to ask any sort of awkward questions. We've got a new Archbishop of Canterbury coming in, the first woman ever. And I was reading a piece this morning that was saying she's still got a load of things to overcome. There's still this same-sex blessing or marriage controversy that's going on. But I think we'll sort of leave the controversy for the day and finish with those words. Merry Christmas, Ian and gang. I so liked what Chandra had to say. A very wise man, says Karen. Talking of vegetarianism, says Jackie, can anyone explain why vegetarian foods are shaped into meat cuts, sausages and burgers? Are they? I don't know. Surely if you don't eat meat, why do you want to look like meat? Confusing. That's it from me. I'll be back tomorrow between 7 and 10. If you missed any of today's programme, you can always listen back on Catch Up on both the Global Player and the LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinion. You can put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to all our podcasts. You can download the LBC app and the Global Player app for free from your app store. Happy Christmas. Have a lovely day. Coming up at 1 on LBC, it's Nick Ferrari at Christmas. But now, on Christmas Day, Ian Dale.
What are you up to now, then?
I'm off to see the girls, my mum, my sister, and my mum's carer.
Looking forward to family arguments?
No, we won't have arguments. We never have arguments. No, no, of no. Course. I should well, say yes, yes. I
happy know. Christmas, Ian. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Now, it's open house on LBC for the next 3 hours, as I hope we can entertain each other during Christmas morning. Whether you're with the family, on your own, preparing the Christmas lunch, I think we can agree that Christmas morning is a time when we can all celebrate together as a radio community, as a family, as a nation. So give me a shout over the next 3 hours. Tell me what you're up to, where you are in the world, what Christmas means to you. How do you strike the right balance as a parent between bowing to the material desires of your children and educating them about the values of the Christmas teachings? That's all coming up here on LBC. Phone in on whatever you like. Pick up the phone right now, 0345 6060 973. It's the number to call.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the King and Queen will be joined by other members of the royal family for their traditional Christmas Day at Sandringham. The King's speech is coming from Westminster Abbey later, and it's the second time he's delivered his address outside of a royal residence. Chief Royal Correspondent at Newsweek, Jack Royson, has told LBC the choice of venue for the message is significant.
Because a number of kings are buried at the Abbey. So that will give a huge kind of deep historical resonance to Charles's appearance. But it's also obviously extremely relevant to the modern royal family. They mark Commonwealth Day there every year. It's just this hugely, incredibly important venue in royal life.
And you'll be able to hear the full address at 3 o'clock here on LBC. Warnings for cold and windy weather are set to come into force this Christmas Day. The UK Health Security Agency has issued a yellow alert for cold weather from 6 o'clock this evening for the southwest of England. The Met Office have their separate warnings for wind in the southwest and Wales. Officials in Russia are looking at the latest American-backed proposals to end the war with Ukraine. They include plans to demilitarize eastern parts of the country. Speaking here through a translator, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov says negotiations will continue before any ceasefire.
Based on the information received by the head of state, we now intend to formulate our further position and continue our contacts in the very near future through the existing channels.
A national reward for bravery will be given to civilians and first responders on the scene of the Bondi Beach terror attack. 15 people were killed at a Hanukkah event in Sydney 11 days ago. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says recognition is important.
At the same time as we've seen the worst of evil and the worst of humanity, we have seen the best of humanity. The bravery and kindness and compassion to fellow Australians that we saw from those who rushed to danger.
And snow has been spotted in Jersey this morning, according to the island's meteorological department. That makes it the third official white Christmas there since records began. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with highs of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm David Dom.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
Hello, a very good morning. It's 3 minutes past 10 on Christmas morning. A very happy Christmas to everyone listening, wherever you're listening in the world. And I do want to hear from you if you're listening throughout the world, because many of you will have already had your Christmas morning. So you can tell me about it. How did it go? Really, this programme is going to be all about you and your calls and your messages. There's no prescription about what you need to phone in about. You can phone in about anything you like, as long as it's got to do with Christmas. Frankly, I don't want to talk about politics this morning. I don't want to talk about current affairs. I don't want to talk about Donald Trump. Oh, dear, I just mentioned a politician's name, didn't I? My producer asked me this morning, do you want to take Donald Trump's Christmas message this morning? I said, no, thank you very much. I think we can do without that. So it's really, in the first hour, I want to really explore the meaning of Christmas. What does Christmas mean to you? Has it changed over the years? Because in a way, Christmas, I think, has become a celebration predominantly for children. And I think we can all, those of you who are of my sort of vintage, we all look back on our childhoods and we have a sort of possibly an idyllic idea of what our childhood was all about. And Christmas was a hugely important part of that. At 4 minutes past 10 in the Dale household at Hall Farm Ashton, in my childhood, we would be queuing up at the sitting room door, which my parents would have locked so we couldn't get in to open the presents until the allotted time. That was around now. We'd rush in very excited with the Christmas tree all lit up, pillowcases bulging with presents, and start ripping. Well, we were actually told we could only do one at a time. So I would do one, my sister would do one, my other sister would do one, then my mum would do one. And it lasted quite a long time. But I don't think we had the volume of presents that kids now get. And when I left the house this morning, we've got my friend, best friend Dan and Laura, his wife, and their four children coming for Christmas dinner this afternoon. And I looked at the piles of presents piled up on the kitchen counter. They'll obviously go out under the tree later. And I'm thinking, there's like 10 for each of them. Isn't that a little bit over the top? Have we gone a little bit over the top at Christmas? 0345 6060 973. Well, let's put this into a little bit of context. Now, some of you who are on TikTok and Instagram will know someone called Sonny Green. We had him on the program a couple of months ago when he'd done a sort of a rap poem, and he was absolutely brilliant. And he popped up on my Instagram reel a couple of days ago, talking about what Christmas has come to mean. Let's hear a little bit of that now.
Do you think Christmas has lost its meaning? Because before the adverts, before the sales, and before credit cards crying in January, there was St. Nicholas. Not a logo, not a brand. A man who gave quietly to people who needed it the most. No receipts, no spotlight, just love in action. But somewhere along the way, the story got hijacked. Now Christmas comes with pressure. Spend money you haven't got to prove love to people who don't need the proof. They tell us love looks like boxes, that joy comes with interest rates, and that being a good parent means being a good consumer. But that's not how it started. They brought gifts to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, symbols, not shopping lists. And Jesus, he said, give to the poor. Love your neighbour. Choose people over profit. He never said, buy more. He said, love more. So what are we teaching our children? That the best gift wins. That love is measured in price tags. Buying your kid a brand new bike means nothing if you don't have the time to teach them how to ride it. Because it was never about the bike. It was about being there. And somewhere we forgot that. But maybe the real gift was never under the tree, but it was around it. Time, peace, family. Christmas weren't meant to empty our pockets. It was meant to fill our hearts. And that gift doesn't cost a thing.
I don't know about you, but that's made me feel quite emotional. And that's about the fourth time I've heard it. So it's quite impactful when it makes you feel emotional after you've heard it four times. But he's right, isn't it? He is absolutely right that the meaning of Christmas seems to have changed over the years. Now, I think that is partly because as we become adults, as we grow older, we realise that Christmas isn't about us. It is about the children, and maybe it always was. And I wonder whether we lose some of the religious aspect of Christmas as well. We'll talk about a little bit more about that in the second hour. Couple of texts have already come in. Jordan says, Ian, can we please have people singing carols down the phone again like last year? That was quite something last year, because I hadn't done the Christmas morning show for about, I think, 12 years. No, I did it last year. And we had literally people phoning in singing down the phone. Now, I'm not going to promise that we're going to repeat that, but if you wish to sing down the phone to me, and you've got a reasonable voice, I mean, we did have a couple last year, shall we say, with slightly dodgy voices, or you can send a voice note via WhatsApp as well, 0345 6060973, if you can't pluck up courage to actually do it live on the programme. It was quite memorable last year, I have to say. So we can do a little bit of that. I'd also love to hear from people from Jersey, because you've got